Hello, 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 and welcome to the VOA special coverage of the third season of the Basketball Africa Leagues. The games are continuing in Cairo, the Nile Conference. I'm Jackson Vunganyi, and joining me in studio is Makbil Yabaro.
My man, Jackson, what's going on? Action Jackson.
Yes, sir. It's good to see you, Makbil. I love when we do this together, man. Always having fun. The Nile Conference is underway in Egypt, and we continue to bring you live coverage of the games as the teams battle it out for the spot in the playoffs next month in Kigali, Rwanda. Now, for this third season, the BAL is divided the games into the Sahara Conference, which took place in Dakar, Senegal. That was from March the 11th to the 21st. If you are tuned in, you heard us. We were here every day. And currently playing in Cairo is the Nile Conference, which runs from April the 26th to May the 6th. And we are bringing you the games live commentary and analysis from our Studio 3 here with Sunny, Makbil, me, Sheikh, and many others. We are also broadcasting in five different languages. So the playoffs, the finals and the playoffs will be in Kigali, Rwanda from May the 21st. And to the 20th, up to the 27th, so we'll carry that live, so stay tuned. So this afternoon, we'll bring you live coverage of two games. Uganda's City Oilers, they are making their debut this year in the Basketball Africa League. They are playing their third game today, this afternoon in Cairo, against Slack of Guinea. Now, both teams lost their last two matches, and I'm sure they're coming into this game hoping to get their first wins in the hopes to advance to the, if they're to advance to the playoffs in Kigali. But that's also kind of tricky, and Makbil will break it down a little on for us. If one of the teams loses this, even if they do win the three games next, what will that mean if they go into their next matchup when they're 0-3.
So they at the moment both teams are 0-2.
Right.
All the teams in the respective conferences play five games. So if you were to even win all your next games, then that means that you would only be 3-2.
Right.
Now the team that loses today's game will now go 0-3, meaning that it would be must wins for them for the next two games.
Right.
And even then it would be reliant on the other teams not having a higher record.
And based on the record of the Sahara Conference, what does that tell us?
We've seen five teams that have the exact same record. And it's unbelievable because in the past couple of seasons we haven't seen that.
Right.
Basically, what that ends up meaning is goal difference. So how much you end up beating a team versus your losses, and that differential will come into play. So if you want to win games, you got to win big.
Early too, right? And that's what's up, guys. So Cape Town Tigers will be playing against El Ahly. That's a match that also will be carried here on the Voice of America. So stay tuned. Sunny will bring you that game. So today's game, Uganda City Oilers, who narrowly lost to Egypt's Al Ahly with a difference of 2 points, that was 72-70. So for much of the game, the Oilers trailed Al Ahly. Such a great game to watch. And at one point, they were behind by as many as 34 points. But
wow,
they got their confidence. They rallied in the fourth quarter to score 34 points and almost had the biggest comeback in BAL history. Makbil, I wish you were here with me in the studio. It was electric, electrifying just to watch them. The games came down to the wire with the Oilers stealing the ball from Orabi, the big man from Al Ahly, in the final second. So if you guys watched it, really, or you can even watch, we have the highlights on the voanews.com website. You can always go check it out. We do some analysis of some of the key points, the highlights of the game. Now, for Slack, going into this, first of all, you know, let's talk about the Oilers. The Oilers will be looking to capitalize on their forward guard, Jermaine Roebuck Jr., who scored a game-high 20 points against El Ahly.
Mm-hmm.
They will also be looking at Philando Jones and
Justice Jr.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those two key players there. Let me ask you, Makbil, who are some of the players that will be the difference makers for Slack as they start this game?
So I would, I wouldn't be able to say any player outside of Dane Anthony Miller Jr.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Starting off, the man had 20 points in the first game, and I believe he also put up 30 in the second game. So he's been a consistent scorer for them. He played for Rutgers University, so he has some Division One college.
Rutgers University here in New Jersey, in the U.S.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So he has some Division One college basketball experience in the States, and then he also played overseas as well. And then Uchenna Irogbu would
yes.
be the Nigerian-American yeah. player who also played D1 basketball here, I believe at Stony College
yes.
In New York. And, yeah, he put
so,
up...
So those are the two key players.
Those are the two key guys.
Miller Jr. And Irogbu.
And Irogbu.
Yeah.
Irogbu put up, for his first game, he put up, I believe it was only like 10, but he was kind of just getting his, you know, feet wet, just making sure that he... And he's a small, he's a guard too, he's only 6 foot.
Yeah.
But he put up 29
wow.
in the second
That's
game.
Major.
You know? Yeah, he put up some big numbers. So look to those two guys to come out early, you know, and basically try to make a dent and a damper in the game. Like I said, this isn't a do or die situation, but it kind of is. It's I don't want to say it, but you know, as we've seen, you know, like in the last conference, there can be so many different types of upsets, but you never want to go down 0-3.
Absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. Slack is coming into their third game, having lost to Cape Town Tigers. A game that they look like they had better chances of winning, especially after dominating the Cape Town Tigers in the first half. However, then Zaire Wade, the son to NBA legend.
And Co.
yes. Maybe Dwayne Wade called him during the halftime and said, son, what are you doing?
It's time
what
for
you
to
doing?
Get, you got to get a win, son. We didn't go to Africa to get some losses.
Right.
We're here to win.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the funny thing is, I remember I was on my desk in my office and you passed by. You had been watching the game. I was working. I was, you know, on other things. And I was asking you to give me a little update on how the game is going between Slack and the Cape Town Tigers. And you're telling me, you know what, Slack got this. Looks like Slack is really, you know, giving it to the Tigers. And then I, you know, an hour later, update on the game.
And I believe they won by like 7 or 8.
Right.
Here's the interesting thing, though, Jax, right? First halves are, you know, unfortunately, you can't really take that to the bank, you know?
Right.
So, like, they were looking really good. They had about a 10-point lead at one point, maybe went stretched it to about 12 points. But like we've seen with Al Ahly, right?
Yeah.
You can be up as big as 30 points, and somehow you can still leave a little bit of a gap open for a team. And if they start picking up, you know, basketball is a game of momentum,
right.
You know? It can shift, and that's why sometimes it's super important. And this is something that we discussed the other day off-air as well with Al Ahly. The interesting thing about them is we've seen kind of now like almost like an Achilles heel as it pertains to their coaching, right?
Right.
Because there's no way you should let a team get back in off
absolutely.
A 30-point game. You got to break the game
yes,
up, right?
Absolutely.
So what are you supposed to do? 10 points in, as soon as they go on
a 10-0 run,
yes. You call a timeout.
Absolutely.
You got to break that momentum down. But I think he just was letting his play. He's not thinking that
he had his bench basically play the mm-hmm. whole time, and they were losing.
Right.
And were thinking, why is this man not calling a timeout?
Right, right.
And bringing in his top players.
Right.
You know,
right. Even if he doesn't even bring the players back in, let the bench ride it out, but break the game down. Right.
Absolutely.
So like that 10-0 run, you got to now stop the game. You have to let your team catch a breather and not let the team continue to build on that lead. It's everything.
Yeah.
Once you break momentum up with a timeout or two, you will realize that it's a run game.
Yeah.
So you're going to now be able to relax, guys. You got to talk to the team. It's all right.
Yeah,
we're still up 20.
Plug these holes.
We're still up by 20.
Be on the defense. See where the guys, the top scorers that have caught fire on the other
what
side.
What are they doing?
What are they doing?
Make sure
yes.
everyone else beats us but these guys, right?
Absolutely.
Similar to what happened the other night, right, with the Kings and the Warriors.
Yes.
You let Steph go off for 50.
Yeah. You know,
you can't let Steph get 50.
Even if you put...
Come on, man.
That's
Come
a good on. Point. And the other point that you raised also, I remember somebody we had in the studio last week say that, you know, these basketball games are won in the fourth quarter. And, you know, you can play a fast half good. You're doing well. You're doing everything that you need. You're putting up buckets. But if the fourth quarter you've lost the momentum, you're letting the other guys, again, something we saw between El Ahly and the Cape Town Tigers, sorry, no, it's the City Oilers, mm-hmm. Is that in the fourth quarter, Uganda, the City Oilers, who had been down almost 34 points, were able to rally, mm-hmm. gain that confidence, and one of their shooters, Roback Jr., just caught fire, and he was just sinking buckets.
But listen, you know, the interesting thing that you mentioned is, look, just similar to, like, if I was to use an analogy like sprinting, right? The 4x100 relay, right? Mm. You have your strongest runner. Your two strongest runners have to be the first guy and the last guy, because you need your anchor to finish off strong, and you need to get a good start at the beginning. Second and third quarter are similar to that. You can kind of, you know, as long as you're within punching distance,
right,
you'll be all right. But you got to start off strong, and you got to finish off even stronger. If you can't close out games, man, it's going to be very difficult to last in
the
league.
Absolutely. And Slack lost to Mozambique in the second game. Mozambique's Ferroviario de Beira, that was 109-97. Slack also started off by leading 2 minutes and 20 seconds to go in the fourth quarter. They were up 97-95 for Beira. However, Beira's Will Perry, the man of the tournament so far,
the boy,
he was unstoppable, putting up a record 41 points. Perry is now tied for the BAL record for most points scored in a game. He also set a record for most three-pointers made in a game.
Man,
unstoppable.
We got a shout-out, Terry Stoglin. My man, Stog, man.
I mean, Stog's record was still standing. You know, I mean, it's still standing, really. It's not that it's been broken. Yes.
He's tied up.
Yeah,
he's tied up.
Yeah.
Nah, definitely. Perry's a baller, man. You know.
Again, which shows Slack having that issue of not being able to maintain that momentum and continuing to dominate the game. They do well in the beginning, but at some point, they lose the steam.
Mm-hmm. So they just got to find a way to close out. I think, you know, if you're coaching staff for Slack, all you're saying is, look, we've played really good games, right? Like the game against Cape Town, they played three really good quarters. The fourth quarter, maybe up until like the first couple of minutes in the fourth quarter, they were still playing good. Like they were still in it the entirety of the game up until the very end. But it just goes to show you that, look, let's do what we do great for the first three quarters. Let's tighten up now. When it comes to the fourth quarter, let's not loosen off that pedal. Let's continue to keep pushing, playing the game that we play. They play really, like, really good defense. They play aggressive style. But it's almost as if, as you mentioned, they kind of burn out, you know, up until first three quarters, as if they burn out.
Right.
And then fourth quarter comes, and they're kind of just like, let's just ride this wave.
Absolutely.
But you can't ride 10 points, you know. That's just 5 buckets a year.
Again, it comes to coaching, I think, some of mm-hmm. this. Sometimes it comes to coaching where there's no strategy to play, first of all, with the clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your head, it's only 2 minutes to go, and you're just shooting
you
around.
Slow
you're,
down.
You're running with the ball. Slow down, run the clock out.
Mm-hmm.
Try to break the momentum of your opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Just to go through the rosters, Mockbell was talking about the key players for Slack. Talked about Dan Anthony Miller Jr. We talked about Uchenna Irogbo. But they'll also be looking to guys like Emeka Nwobazo, Cedric Bearfield, Ibrahima Khalil Fofana, Alseni Ba, Marbolu Mara, and Ismail Conde. Mockbell, the City Oilers are the reigning champions of Uganda, their local basketball league in Uganda for the last 8 years in a row. That's quite a record.
That's a feat.
What would it mean for them if they won today?
Man, first and foremost, if they win today, they're just basically, you know, solidifying to themselves that, hey, we're in this league. This is our first year playing in this league. We belong, right?
Yeah.
Because it's kind of unfortunate when debutant teams come into the league and they're not able to even secure a win or two, you know. What you want to do is you want to make sure that you can kind of get in the mix. You want to make sure that you can kind of get in the mix and show that you basically are here to play seriously. And honestly speaking, I feel like, you know, they can do exactly what it is that they said that they wanted to do. But we will be watching them clearly, man. And I feel like both them and Eslak are coming, because Eslak also was in the league season one. They didn't play in season two. But they're ready. Yeah. They're ready to
they're
make
ready. They're ready. And we spoke to some Ugandan fans of the City Oilers. There is confidence in Uganda that even if they lost the last two games, because they played against such, you know, powerful teams, which is always good that, you know, you start off with the powerful teams. Mm-hmm. If you lose, you kind of get your prowess or your skill level. But this is what the Ugandan fans said about the City Oilers' chances. All right, we're still queuing up.
I'm William. I'm a basketball player from Kenya playing for Livingstone BC in Uganda. As for me, I think City will have a great chance to represent as well, because them being the number one team, and them having a new squad right now, which consists of several foreign players who are really representing them well, I believe City Oil will do something so massive for us and will be happy as the basketball fraternity in Uganda. They're a complete team, that's all I have to say. They have whatever it needs. They have everyone ready. They have point guards. They have shooting guards. Their big men are good. Everything in City Oil is good. We just hope for the best for them. Yeah, we expect a lot from them.
Yeah, my name is Simon Nyakojo, and I'm a huge fan of basketball, and I'm so grateful that right now City Oil has got an opportunity to represent us. And at that stage, I think they are going to put a good fight. They are well organized, they are prepared, they have done their homework, basically. And I believe they are going to put a good fight and try to bring results back here. And it will help us, you know, it will encourage other teams to also try and fight and reach that level. And I think these City Oilers will see some new talent get on board. It will be an opportunity for some of the players to showcase what they can do on international level. So as a fan, I can't really wait to see what they have to show us.
My name is Moses Ngorok. I'm rooting for Jimmy Anabu. He's a friend of mine. I'm hoping the City Oilers go all the way and win it. I hope they're going to win the games. They are focused. I know Jimmy to be a focused person. And I know it's been his dream to do it on the international stage.
My name is Eva Skangume Ritai. I'm actually now in Kampala, and I wish the City Oilers the best in basketball. Thank you for representing us. And we actually wish you all the best.
City Oilers being like the champion for the past 8 years, yeah, I think we should expect a lot from them. They have proved to be a good team, consistently winning a title for 8 years. Takes a lot of energy and a lot of commitment. So we wish them all the best, and we hope that they give us good results as they're going to be. When they're going to be playing, they're going to be playing as Uganda, not City Oilers. Yeah. So they are representing the Pearl of Africa, and we wish them all the best.
Even though Egypt is the best, has been the best lately, then you can never predict anything. So hopefully, if City Oilers has been the best in Uganda also, they have a higher chance of presenting us well. Yes.
I think City Oil will put up a good fight, because when you look at their recruitments and their big men, they are well off. They can play. They'll put up a good fight. As a player, I can also do it. But it requires more, a lot of hard work and facilities and a lot of time. So I can also do something like that. And as for now, my career is maybe I also wish to play for ball, in ball rather. So I'll have to put in a lot of work, do a lot of time, so I can make it that stage. As a player, when I see people that I'm playing against and they're playing such maybe big leagues, that means I can match up the energy with those guys. Because when I play with them in Uganda, that means I'm able, I have the ability, I can play with them. So that means it's just a lack of connection maybe, or management or facilities, that I'm not at those guys' level. I am motivated to play, that's why I train every day, at least 6 hours every day.
I just wish them good luck. Yeah, it's all less. Yeah, I just wish them good luck.
Eagles were City Oilers fans in Kampala, Uganda. They hope that their team will get their first win at the Nile Conference in Cairo as we prepare to watch the game between Slack of Guinea and City Oilers of Uganda. The City Oilers are the reigning champions of their local basketball league in Uganda 8 years in a row. Quite a record. And in their opening match, the Oilers offense struggled, but they did get going once Philando Jones and Justice Jr., Titus Luwal got their groove. Philando Jones and James, and Justice Jr. scored 22 and 20 points. That's in their first game. But the guy to watch today, I think, is Roback Jr. He was the man of the match in their game, the second game against the Lally that they lost by just 2 points. So, Mark Bill, before the game starts, I think we have a few minutes that we can see some shoot-arounds in Cairo. Our feed is coming in live here in studio. How are you feeling about this game? What are your predictions based on how both teams have played in their first match?
I think both teams have kind of shown what they're really good at, but we've seen some weaknesses and lapses in what both teams have done. Interestingly enough, the SLAC side seems like they start really well but finish off a little slower, you could say, and they probably would want to work on that the most, their closeout portion, so maybe end of quarters and end of the game. As for City Oilers, they're kind of the opposite. They start a little slower, but they pick up pace in the second half, hence they were able to make up that huge deficit against Al Ahly. But sometimes, you know, it's a little too late, right? You also don't want to put yourself in that position. So look to the City Oilers to make sure they don't go down too fast and start off with a strong first half performance. And if City Oilers are able to start off a really strong first half, I think they can take it. But SLAC has shown us that they can play a really good first half. So maybe if they could finish it off, I think, all in all, I think it'll be a close game.
A close game.
Yeah.
Okay, those are your predictions.
Yeah.
In case you're just joining us, this is the VOA special coverage of the third season of the Basketball Africa League, the Nile Conference that is currently being played in Cairo, in Egypt, Cairo. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. I'm joined in studio by Mark Bill Yabaro. My guy, Mark Bill, knows basketball to the core.
He's the man
to be in the studio with. The Nile Conference is underway in Egypt, like we said. We continue to bring you live coverage right here on the Voice of America for all the games as the teams battle it out for a spot in the playoffs next month. That's May in Kigali, Rwanda. Again, for this third season of the Basketball Africa League, the teams are divided, or the games are divided into
conferences.
Mm-hmm. The Sahara Conference, the Nile Conference, and then the playoffs in Kigali, Rwanda. How many games do they have to play per team?
So there are six teams in every conference. Each team plays each other once. It's almost like a March Madness bracket style play. Very interesting because it's not always necessary that the better team has to win. You just have to be the better team that day.
Right.
It's not a series. You just got to come in, play for four quarters, and get the win. And if you're able to get that, then you will have that ticket to Kigali, Rwanda.
Ticket to Kigali. And that's why when you're playing, you have to make sure that you're giving it your all.
Absolutely.
You're giving it your all because you don't have many chances. Because, you know, you could win again. You know, you could lose two games, and even if you won the last three games, you might not be able to make it
depending on the conference. And you never want to really leave it up to other teams, right?
Right.
See, that's the thing. If just like what we saw in the last conference, if everybody has the same record at the end of the day, then it goes to goal difference and stuff like that. But if there's a couple of teams, you know, like I don't think Petro, the way that Petro's been playing, I don't see anyone beating them. Maybe Al Ahly, possibly, but the way that they've been playing, they've been winning in dominating fashion. So a team like that can go 5-0, right? If they go 5-0, now you have them, and then you'll have Al Ahly potentially, and then where does everybody else kind of fill in after the fact? That's the most interesting thing. But yeah.
Again, if you're just joining us, this is the VOA special coverage of the Basketball Africa League. That was Makbil Yabaro. He will stay with me in studio. We'll be here for the next like 2 hours, 2.5 hours.
We'll be here for a while.
So send us some coffee, please. And again, this afternoon, we'll bring you live coverage of two games. Uganda City Oilers playing their must-win third game against Slack of Guinea. Another must-win third game for them. Both teams lost in their first, in their last matches, their first two matches. And so they're coming into this, hoping to get their first wins with a little chip on their shoulder. And, you know, the next game that we'll cover here on the Voice of America will be the Cape Town Tigers that will play against Al Ahly. Cape Town Tigers has won, I think,
They're 1-1 now.
1-1. Mm-hmm. Al Ahly is on top. It has, no, actually it's the second right now. I think they won two games.
But I think goal difference, I believe it should be Petro at top.
Yeah, Petro on top. Yes, yep. Absolutely. Again, we are going to be in studio carrying the game for you live. And my colleague Sande Shomari spoke to Mr. Faris Magesa. He's a basketball analyst. He's also a former Tanzania basketball president. And this is what he had to say.
I'm William. I'm a basketball player from Kenya playing for Livingstone BC in Uganda. As for me, I think City will have a great chance to represent as well, because them being the number one team and them having a new squad right now which consists of several foreign players who are really representing them well, I believe City will do something so massive for us and will be happy as the basketball fraternity in Uganda. They're a complete team, that's all I have to say. They have whatever it needs, they have everyone ready, they have point guards, they have shooting guards, their big men are good. Everything in CTL is good. We just hope for the best for them. Yeah, we expect a lot from them.
Yeah, my name is Simon Nyakojo, and I'm a huge fan of basketball. And I'm so grateful that right now CTL Oil has got an opportunity to represent us. And at that stage, I think they are going to put a good fight. They are well organized. They are prepared. They have done their homework, basically. And I believe they are going to put a good fight and try to bring results back here. And it will help us, you know, it will encourage other teams to also try and fight and reach that level. And I think these City Oilers will see some new talent get on board. It will be an opportunity for some of the players to showcase what they can do on international level. So as a fan, I can't really wait to see what they have to show us.
My name is Moses Ngorok. I'm routing for Jimmy Anabu. He's a friend of mine. I'm hoping the City Oilers go all the way and win it. I hope they're going to win the games. They are focused. I know Jimmy to be a focused person. And I know it's been his dream to do it on the international stage.
My name is Eva Skangu Meritai. I'm actually now in Kampala, and I wish the City Oilers the best in basketball. Thank you for representing us, and we actually wish you all the best.
City Oilers being like the champion for the past 8 years, yeah, I think we should expect a lot from them. They have proved to be a good team, consistently winning a title for 8 years takes a lot of energy and a lot of commitment. So we wish them all the best, and we hope that they give us good results as they're going to be, when they're going to be playing there, they're going to be playing as Uganda, not City Oilers. Yeah. So they are representing the Pearl of Africa, and we wish them all the best.
Even though Egypt is the best, has been the best lately, then you can never predict anything. So hopefully, if City Oilers has been the best in Uganda also, they have a higher chance of presenting us well. Yes.
I think City Oil will put up a good fight, because when you look at their recruitments and their big men, they are well off. They can play. They will put up a good fight. As a player, I can also do it, but it requires more, a lot of hard work and facilities and a lot of time. So I can also do something like that. And as for now, my career is maybe I also wish to play in ball. So I'll have to put in a lot of work, do a lot of time. So I can make it that stage. As a player, when I see people that I'm playing against and they're playing such maybe big leagues, that means I can match up the energy with those guys. because when I play with them in Uganda, that means I'm able, I have the ability, I can play with them. It's just a lack of connection maybe, or management or facilities, that I'm not at those guys' level. I am motivated to play, that's why I train every day, at least 6 hours every day.
I just wish them good luck. Yeah. It's all less. Yeah, I just wish them good luck.
All right. This is a Basketball Africa League live coverage here on the Voice of America. Mark Bill, we're about to start the game.
I'm excited, man. Sydney Oilers versus SLAC. Who will be the first one to get their win? Jax, who do you think is going to get the win?
I think Sydney Oilers.
You see me? I'm playing political. Really,
it's tough to predict these games these days, you know, like, you know, Sydney Oilers almost had that stalled that game under El Ahly's feet. So, yeah. I don't know. But let's go to Cairo right now. I can see that's the president of the Basketball Africa League, Mr. Gay Guy.
Amadou Gal.
Yes. Yeah, let's go to Cairo.
Let's do it.
The feel of a final. How important is this game for you and the team?
Moving forward, stay in the tournament. This is very, very important for us. We talked about it. It is as important as it is to the other team. So we're going to expect a very, very, you know, good game tonight. See what happens.
Now, just a little bit in terms of tactics. Where do you think this game is won or lost?
I think us doing the right things for us to give ourselves a chance to win, and that is rebounding the ball and just being better on defense. Obviously, we need to get our important players in the team, the ones who normally give us points, the leaders on the team, to step up in this game.
Yeah, best of luck. Thank you, coach.
Thank you.
Let's meet the starting five for the Sydney Oilers.
What are some of those key areas? Where do you think this game is won or lost?
Well, game will be win. Did the Slack can have the chance to stop at the three super perimeter players? And also, did we will have the chance to balance that with the defensive rebounds? And at the end, the defense against pick and roll of the City Oilers. Where is our thing where we have the chance? We have the chance to, first of all, play very attention in the defense, share the ball in the offense, and have the patience to create an open shot. Have the patience to working in offense, to working with the pass, with the motion, to create that one open shot. If the necessary, we are very fast also. We can run without any problem.
Thank you, coach.
Thank you.
Taken up court by the man Wabuzor. Conde. Around the outside. Miller gets the screen and goes up. That is sensational. The velvet, soft, magical touch there of Miller Jr. offers more points for Slack.
It's looking very easy for Slack to go into that City Oilers paint. There seems to not be defense there from the City Oilers.
Yeah, they've got big guys on this on the court as well, with Odeke, of course, and Ngor Barnaba. And there's a travelling call, and they give possession back to the West Africans. They really need to be a little bit tighter and make sure that they close the gap to allow the likes of Miller and Conde and Nwabuzor to go just dancing through the paint.
From the look of things, they're executing the coach's plan. Zetjevic impressed on the sideline there. You can see a bit of a smile on his face.
It's another scenario that repeats. History is repeating itself in a big way. Good score there. Nwabuzor goes through the front door.
It's a big performance so far from Nwabuzor. It's 5 points of Slack's nine.
Barnaba, nice bounce pass, and that will be a free throw line. He's gone down on his back. It looks like he's going to be okay, Robert Jr., but he comes across from that. Yeah, very aggressive coming in from the right, always drawing the fouls. That's the second time that he's done that.
Looking at the replay, another good combination there between Barnaba and Robak Jr., but on the other side, easy basket there from Nwabuzor.
It looks like there is going to be a timeout. City Oilers 3, Slack 9, and a nervy start here in Cairo. We're going to take a break.
The first time out of the game, City Oilers versus Slack of Guinea, City Oilers of Uganda. It is 3-9, 3 for City Oilers, 9 for Slack. Mockville, they're creating separation already.
They're trying. They're trying. You see, Slack usually starts off strong. What did I say at the beginning before we started, right? Slack starts off really well. City Oilers have yet to kind of get their footing under them. But if they allow this lead to get a little bit bigger,
you don't want that.
They could be in some trouble. But
and the City Oilers have a habit of letting their opponents just run buckets on them in the beginning.
And then try to, like, make up for that deficit. It's not conducive for winning basketball. You got to make sure you stop it. But I actually like this timeout call by the City Oilers to make sure.
That was smart. That is smart coaching.
There we
right
go.
There.
Yeah. You know, you don't let the momentum happen. So it's really good. You know, 6-point lead is not much in basketball.
Absolutely.
So I like the call. We'll see how they come out after this. But Slack definitely have momentum. We see Roebuck Jr. and the young guys, man, they're going in. So.
Yeah, they're starting well. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go back to Cairo.
City Oilers 3.
The driving lanes, he's made a couple of adjustments. You're going to see some matchups switched up in terms of the personnel guarding primary ball handler, and that's just the purpose of the timeout from Coach Mandy Giruni.
Okay, thanks very much, Q. That's gold. Well, look at that for a play. Fast transition, slick handling, slack handling, and a fantastic score there for the West Africans.
We're looking at the Slack players and the body language. They're deep into this game. They want to start very well and be very consistent. And that is something that they've been trying to do in this NAL conference. And they're doing exactly that against the City Oilers. You can feel that they're hungry. They know this is their final. If they lose tonight, it will be very dangerous for Slack going forward.
Yeah, it's exactly that, isn't it? And Slack mean business, you know. They've got a good, strong team. They've got players in different positions. Barnaba going up for a shot that's just on the edge of the arc. Doesn't find his range. Picked up by Slack. Fofana. Miller Jr. waiting patiently. Moving with verve and swagger. Gets his screen just off the rim. And then... oh, just giving back to Robert Jr. City Oilers go again. Justice Jr. Such an important player. That's a great shot. A wonderful score. Just inside of the arc. So 2 points, but two very important points that have actually turned into three. I beg your pardon.
It's a big three there from Justice Jr. He saw the space. He had a good shot selection, and he delivered.
Such an important player in this team. That's a nice little floater over the top as well. Very good score coming from Ismail Conde, the 30-year-old. Justice Julia goes again. He knows he's got a major role to play in this performance. Miller Jr. tries to get past Barnaba, no way through.
Good defense there from Barnaba. And the idea was good from Miller Jr. You can see there's a bit of a smile there on his face as Slack retain the possession.
Miller Jr. You can see that they brought on Mambo Omara, 19-year-old Guinean national player. Excellent score there from Conde. Q mentioned, you know, just to close down those corridors, just to not give them the facility and just the easy way in which they've just been carving up the defense. That's what they've got to do. They've got big players in this team, City Oilers.
Well, when you talk about Giruni, he must be boiling on the court side. He's a coach that loves to play good defense, and the players are not reacting to his instructions, and it could be a very long night for the Ugandan champions if they don't look into that.
Miller Wiss winning that battle with Odeke to get the rebounds. Picks up once again. Miller goes out wide. Mara this time, 19 years of age, with a beautiful three-pointer from downtown.
It's a beautiful finish there from Mara. Great way to introduce himself in this game. And now each of the Slack players have points on the board. And they're looking good, Slack.
That's great rebound action there from Jones. Jones stepping up and saying, look, we got to get some points from somewhere. That's the right place to do it. Iroegba. Nigerian unable to see his long-range shot fall. He'll be back and trying to produce more of those. Iroegbu. Justice Jr. goes for a big shot. Jones looking for the offensive rebound. Made safe, taken downtown. And a chance for Slack, but look at that. Get out of there. Banaba. Wow.
Good defense there from Robak Jr. to save that ball and give the City Oilers a possession that they could use some scoring.
Odeke for a three-pointer. It's a nice shot, but it just is curling around the rim and then flying back out. They get possession. Slack and 8-18, a 10-point lead for the West Africans. They'll be very content with that. Just remember, Coach Zecevic always talking about, you know, the performances that they put in. Opening game, he said, we played amazingly, fantastically for 32 minutes. But the other 8 minutes was absolutely awful. And, you know, it is not by much that they're actually giving away, you know, points and just allowing their opponents to play. So Slack are a well-oiled machine.
Talking about a well-oiled machine, they're coming out against the Oilers. Let's see how oiled they can be tonight against the Oilers.
The machines are very much in action. Picked up by Justice Jr. That's a ball to pass to Banaba. Banaba goes up. He can't just, like, have the depth touch that allows it to float over the top and it doesn't fall.
There's a bit of frustration there for the Oilers. They don't have much of an offensive rebound.
Got to make it safe, and it's been picked up. Good, strong work there to make it. There's Mara. Look at that for a beautiful shot from out wide by Nwabuzor.
It is 8 points for Nwabuzor. He's been slick in this game so far, and of the offensive cover he gives this Slack side.
Here's Okello back out to Jones. Jones hits a big bucket. Big score from Jones.
It's a big three there from Jones. The City Oilers needed that to just reduce that deficit to 10 points. They know they have so much work to do.
Miller waiting patiently, using time. Down into the corner. And picked up by the ever-dangerous Iroegbu. Draws the foul.
Three team fouls for the City Oilers. And just looking at the thinking there from Iroegbu, he saw space on the best line. He took his chance and there's a foul.
And a change with Abdi Hakim Gedi, son of the team manager, coming on, been with the Oilers for a few years now, hasn't he, Asha?
Yes, Gedi, son of Mohamed Santour, one of the founders of the City Oilers, is introduced himself well here at the BAL, just getting in some minutes in that paint, especially against Petro de Luanda.
Jones drops it into the path of Gedi. Oh, get out of there! You are not coming in. That's massive.
It was a very timely block there, and access denied from Gedi, but...
But, yeah, exactly. It was just, it was coming down, so it doesn't count. Yeah. The points go up onto the scoreboard, and otherwise that would have been something quite impressive. 11-21.
It is an offensive foul called on Gedi.
And Gedi just getting in the way of Ibrahima Fofana.
Fofana, he has a Bachelor of Science in Human Resource Management from the Kofi Annan University in Conakry. Just just speaking to him before the game and saying, this is a do-or-die fixture for us. We need to do the very best to make sure that we give ourselves a chance to go to the playoffs in Kigali. And on the other side, you have danger for Geddy. He has two personal fouls in the last 10 seconds. An offensive foul, a defensive foul. And things are not looking good for the City Oilers.
Yeah, he's a big guy as well. He's the kind of player that you actually need. 2 meters, 0-8. Q, a little bit of tension in the air. Can you feel it?
Well, certainly it's tense on the side of the City Oilers right now. Slack have been pretty exquisite in terms of their execution on the offensive end. They're 70% from the field, and Coach Zetchevich just emphasizing patience on the offensive end. And I see that there's a reverse call on the floor. It's going to be Oilers basketball.
Oilers get the ball back and take it forward. Here's Fayed Bale, the 21-year-old playmaker. And a long-range downtown shot that doesn't put points on the board. Miller Jr. races up, the deft Miller Jr. into the hands of that man, Iruegbu, Nigeria. Miller Jr. around the outside, down into the corner. Fofana, Fofana for three!
It's a big three-pointer there from Fofana from the best line. It's 7 points for the captain of Slack, and he's literally leading by example here.
That's 2 three-pointers for him down in the corner, and unable to sink as a good fast break here has been put up, but it hasn't been put in just yet. Take your time, bide your time. Back out, and they go again. Danger, danger, absolutely everywhere. And it doesn't fall. It's been taken by Jones. And good recovery, but it's a 13-point lead for Slack. Justice Junior. Oh, oh, oh. And a bit of contact there. You can see that James Okello with the offensive foul.
James Okello, captain of the City Oilers, just looking at the replay there. He's used to so much contact in the paint, and that was a mismatch. So it's definitely a foul on him, and City Oilers are now in the red.
James Okello knows all about contact in the family as well. His stepbrother, Philip Wakarak, plays for the Ugandan national rugby team. There you go. Picks up, unable to pick that ball up, and they go, and this is a good opportunity. Oh, it's a foul that's been committed as Justice Junior went dancing through the paint. Foul going against Uwegbu, I think. Let's have a look. Yes, it is.
Justice Junior, one of the offensive players that are very key for the City Oilers, has been asking the questions here, trying to shoot from the three-point line. And now he's switched to driving to that paint. Good decision. He's 100% shooting on the free throw line in this tournament. He's yet to miss from the charity line. Perhaps a good ambassador of a player who understands it is a free throw line. There's no defense, Robbie. So he should be able to deliver. And it is 2 for 2.
5.6 seconds remaining, and this is the last play of this first quarter. A very, very fast drive down into the paint. Doesn't happen, though, I'm afraid, for Iruegbu. And the scores here, they've reduced it down a little bit, the Oilers. And but still Slack, very much in command. 13 points for the Oilers, 24 for Slack. We will take a small break, and we'll be back.
And we are back from the first quarter in Cairo. 24 for Slack, 13 for City Oilers. 11-point lead for Slack. Jackson, talk to me, man. How's it looking for the Oilers?
Like you said in the beginning, you cannot let your opponents run like that, run roughshod over you in this opening minutes, because it will be hard to catch up. And we've seen them in previous games where they played poorly in the first quarters, the first two quarters or three quarters, and then they try to make it up in the fourth quarter. And that usually, you know, when the lead is really tough, well, I mean high, it's tough to really catch up. And that's what is happening right now. 13 for City Oilers, 24 for Slack. Slack is balling. It's really balling. And, you know, you can see in the amount of points they have already on the board. They're, you know, passing the ball, shooting really well. They're defending.
It just seems like Slack is really just playing a more cohesive game right now, right?
Absolutely.
So like, so for City Oilers, even though the points that they are able to score, it's as if it's harder for them to get those points because Slack is playing, you know, their offense is getting everybody involved. Sometimes what happens is when you get everybody involved on offense, everybody wants to play defense.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Whereas for the City Oilers, certain players have to be really special to, like, actually get these points. So they're getting points from very difficult situations, one-on-one, ISO-type plays. It's been very difficult for them to get points. But Slack is getting everybody involved, getting easy looks. You're seeing
excellent,
you know,
execution,
a lot of
the
passing,
ball movements,
a lot of assists
exactly.
happening. So it's going to be very interesting to see what the coaching staff have told the City Oilers to do in order to get ready for the second quarter.
I'm sure they're having those conversations right now. I like the fact that they're calling these timeouts whenever they see that the lead is, you know, is getting wider. That means that they're trying to respond to some of these gaps or the holes that are appearing. But let's go back to Cairo.
Absolutely. Let's get back to Cairo. City Oilers 13, 24 for Slack.
Well, I can tell you that the sky is red. It's not blue.
Will Justice Junior going up for the long-range shot from down and around about, but again, the long-range shots are just not falling at the moment for the City Oilers. As soon as they start to fall, it might be a different scenario. The scoreline might be a little bit different. Miller, isolated, gets a little bit of a screen, drives up, twisting and turning. And again, they draw the foul. You can see that there's a little bit of frustration.
It's a good strategy there from Slack to continue penetrating the paint. It's something that worked for them in the first quarter. They scored 14 of their 24 points in that paint, driving in Nwabuzo on this side, Fofana on that side, Dan Miller on the other side. It's really been a great first quarter for the Guinean champions, and they want to continue from that performance.
You know, their comeback where they nearly managed to reel in Club Ferroviario de Beira. At one point, they were 30 points down.
Yeah, they were 30 points down.
and City Oilers, they were 20 points down. So, yeah. You know, we've got teams that are capable of reversing their fortunes and getting themselves into those positions where they can actually wrap up victory. So I think that just puts this down as a very intriguing encounter here between these two teams. Vale. Justice Junior tries to find Geddy. Geddy's there, picks up the ball, but from Jones. Hassled marginally by that man, Okello. They get, by Barr. They get their the ball back in their hands. Jones, Justice Junior. Okello goes for a big long range shot. It's not got the distance.
Well, just looking at that play particularly, you see that the City Oilers look like they're running out of options. And you see Fayed Bale on the floor, supposed to take leadership of that ball and sort of organize the offense of the City Oilers. But let's see if they can react to that.
That's a fantastic long-range downtown suburb shot coming in from UC Iroegbu.
Iroegbu, the Nigerian international, introducing himself in this fixture. His first points on the board. And he will want to replicate that performance from their last game, Iroegbu, where he scored 29 points against Beira.
Look at this. This is from way down, away from home comforts. Big score. And another big long-range shot. It's just raining down threes now in a big way. Nwabuzo.
Nwabuzo is the first player to go in double digits in this fixture. It's 11 points for the man who has the hot hat.
very fine score indeed. The layup and high hands and quick, fast transition. It comes back down. Here's Dane Miller Jr. for three. And it's the double tip that doesn't see the points go. Very fast execution now. Quick transition. Tello Justice Jr. I like the way that Slacker just accelerating the moment that the defensive rebound has been made. Not a great pass there from Justice Jr. Picked up quickly, taken down. Miller Jr. Oh, that is beautiful. Iroegbu underneath, up, in. Happy as Larry. Whoever Larry is.
Beautiful there from Iroegbu, who has his eyes on the glass. And he makes no mistake. Easy 2 points, and now he's up to five.
Jones, Geddy. Just losing possession. The bounce pass would have been a better option for Akello, but it comes back out slack, and they are hitting hard. The tip-in, double tip-in, and another chance for Barr, but he doesn't manage to get the points. 15-32.
It's a very timely rebound there from Justice Jr.
They get the ball back, and they're going again. Is Justice Jr. from downtown. That's a beautiful score and a big three-pointer there.
Timely one from Justice Jr., but the City Oilers need other scoring options on the offensive. They're struggling here.
He's up into double figures now, James Justice Jr., 34-year-old. Noah Bouzour. Fofana just gives himself a little bit of space and then subtly drops in to say hello with a wonderful two.
Fofana literally confirming himself as Mr. Two. He's been incredible from the field so far in this tournament, and that shows exactly that.
Really good defensive play. That was from Fofana as well at the other end, just getting in the way of Justice Jr. and preventing him from going on one of those wily runs. Oh, it's good play from Iroegbu, but he just gets caught up in the traffic. And the ball knocked out of the hands of Justice Jr. It's frantic here. Whoa! Iroegbu, they go again, shot clock down to 10. Geddy makes it safe. Barley goes up court. Got to take advantage of their possession, and they're just not exploiting it. Fast and frantic, wild and crazy basketball, the way that we love it.
And looking at the Oilers, they've sort of failed to take control of the ball. And on the other side, you see Coach Zecevic animated and complaining and just saying, guys, you need to calm down and take care of that ball. But I guess for Slack, they sort of got excited with the good run they had. There's a good vibe on the court right now for the Guinean champions.
Yeah, and Q mentioned the importance as the ball goes up once again, made safe by Jones. Q mentioned the fact that, you know, using the clock, otherwise Coach Detter is going to get quite animated. Is Jones for two? He just doesn't get his line right. He's exactly that, Q, isn't he? He's slightly animated.
Well, he is definitely animated. Every possession, he's in locked in. He's almost as locked in as every single player on the floor for Slack.
Yeah, but they're really moving very, very fast. That's a big shot coming from downtown, but Fofana's three-pointer doesn't get the tick box. Jones, on the outside. He's got Barnaba outside. Not too much movement from his teammates. And kind of relying on Jones to do a one-man show.
Looking at the City Oilers, every time they attack the basket, they don't have someone to clean up, give themselves a chance with the offensive rebounds. They really struggle.
18-34, we'll take a break. It's Slack in the lead.
Basketball Africa League coverage right here on The Voice of America. I'm Jackson Funganyi in studio with
Mark Bill Yabaro.
Mark Bill, it's 18 for Slack and 34 for, sorry, it's 18 for the City Oilers and 34 for Slack.
4 minutes and 35 or 36 seconds left in the second quarter.
Man.
It's not looking good for the City Oilers, yeah. Jax.
Yeah, absolutely. City Oilers needs to step up, be quick on those transitions. They've been struggling in the paint, on their defense. Obviously, Slack is showing that they want this. They're more hungry for this. I'm sure City Oilers are also hungry for this. But They need to step up. They need to step up. Coach has to get in and make some changes.
Realistically speaking, the only person who's really playing well for the City Oilers at the moment is James Justice Jr. with 10 points. Then you have Philando Jones with 5. And that's pretty much it. You have 2 points from Barnaba, and you have Robux with 1 point.
Right.
That's not going to cut it.
Absolutely. Robux was their top shooter last the last game with Al Ahly. He needs to come in and step up. And, you know, again, not wait for the fourth quarter to catch momentum. You know, start now when they're starting to widen their lead, creating this separation. You know it's going to be tough for you later on in the game. Let's go back to Cairo. 4 minutes and 36 seconds in the first half.
Slack 34. Well, let's get to know this player. Emeka Nwabuzor, the Nigerian. Nicknamed Mike, loves Mexican food. Dennis Schroeder, loves to visit Nigeria. Walk by Kodak.
Wow. Great choice there from Nobles. I think it explains why he's the man on fire.
On fire.
And we talk about fire. You know that, yes, he loves Mexican food, but if you've eaten Nigerian food, you know that there's always pepper and it's fiery. Perhaps that explains his performance here tonight.
Oh, it's a big, big alley-oop there. Scored big time by that man, Mamoru Mala. Wow, wow, wow.
Takes a proper flight there, Mara, and announces himself in that pain. But great and timely way to come back from that timeout from Slack.
And it draws the foul on that occasion. Gor Barnaba, the big 27-year-old. He'll go to the free throw line. It's a massive statement. It's a massive way to come back out of a timeout. Let's just have a look at this again. It goes up, and it most definitely goes in.
It's
colossal.
Great there, and you can see what it means to the Slack bench. They celebrate with Mara, and you can see what it means for Slack, who now have control of this game. They have the game where they want it to be, and of course you can see Coach Mandajuni very disturbed there from the performance of his players and how they've started this game. The City Oilers are very used to winning back home in Uganda. They've won 8 straight National League titles in the top flight division. And now they know that this is baptism of fire. This is the BAL. Sort of like, welcome to the BAL.
Yeah, no, it's exactly that. You've got to get into it. You've got to get into it in a big way. Let's just follow this phase of play and see what Slack are up to now. Miller Jr., they've got moves. They've got lots of moves. Lovely little slick pass out wide as it goes over and in. Oh, that is just extraordinary. Stunning play there. Nwabuzor's pass out wide was top quality and the score was a delight to the eye. Odeke Jones doesn't take it cleanly. Gets the ball out into the corner. Long range shot. Nicely done off the boards. And finally we get a big score there coming from Jermaine Roebuck Jr.
It is the third three-pointer for the City Oilers. They need it.
Miller Jr. Oh, should have been intercepted. Should have been a steal there. Jimmy Anabu trying to get his hands on it. Shot clock down to a few seconds now. It goes up, and again it goes in. Whatever they do happens and makes sense. Conde, the scorer. Time for Q. Q's itching to give us some information about what's happening over there. I mean, the fact is there's a lot going on. Barnaba, nice score there from the Oilers. Over to you, Q.
A lot happening on the floor, and right now, Coach Manager Rooney has not figured out ways to make the Slack offense uncomfortable. He's thrown a zone at them. They've broken down the zone. They still go late into the shot clock. They've got to figure out ways to just either affecting the primary ball handler or getting a contest on the shot later in that shot clock.
I think it's Coach Zetchevich's wizardry that's enabling Slack from getting themselves into this into this comfort zone, because they're having an absolute they're having a fun day out at the moment.
Honestly, knowing Coach Zetchevich, he's worked very hard. He knows how to do his homework. He's having, you know, great time coaching against the City Oilers today, but really also his players. You have to give them the credit. They've been putting in heavy minutes in the tournament so far, and really players like Den Miller Jr., who's averaging 39.9 minutes per game, to be able to be consistent in every game that he's played, you have to give them credit.
The Alali jersey there, which is the logo with the flying eagle. They'll be in action a little bit later on, taking on the Cape Town Tigers. Nwabuzor, 11 points, 4 assists, 2 from 4, 3 points. A player to look out for. Just look at this. Driving through, making it very uncomfortable for the Oilers' defense.
And the beauty about the way that Slack are playing right now, you can see that Nwabuzor can shoot from the perimeter, he can drive into the basket, and he's also playing good defense against the City Oilers' backcourt. But let's see if the Oilers will execute Jeruni's plan from that timeout. It is a zono man-to-man defense that they're playing right now.
And just get rid of your man. And that is, again, a sensational score from Emeka Nwabuzor. Through the front door, he just drops it up and in. Mid-range two. And an 18-point lead. Banaba, that is how you do it. Oh, it just doesn't go in. And, well, a very frustrating there for Titus Odeke.
And Odeke had an option to just make an easy two there. You'd be frustrated with that, but he has a chance to make up for that.
Here he gets Justin Junior. There's the attempted layup, and it's a travelling call going against him. The frustration for the City Oilers, and he looks around and he can't believe his eyes.
Things are not looking good for the City Oilers in this game. It's turnover after turnover. They're failing to get the offensive rebounds. Their defense is not working out, but they continue to work. The attitude is what matters.
Zetrovic putting a lot of faith in that man, Mara, the teenager, 19 years of age, plays in the national team. He's a very intelligent young man, and he's got a great game. Good passer, good score of the, and also good team player, picked up there by Odeke. Barnaba, like to see Barnaba move a little bit more. Put him in the paint a little bit more, just to make it a little bit more uncomfortable at the back, because he's a big guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is indeed a big guy. You can see that he sort of brings that look and size to the City Oilers on both sides of the court.
Nicely done. That is, oh, it just couldn't drive around the outside and score the bucket. Robert Jr., just look what happens at the other end. Just couldn't get it around your Egbu, but so far, so slick, so dangerous. Inabu! That is a good attempt to try and get the rebound, but the an attempt is, when it's not successful, doesn't really mean that much, Usher.
No, it doesn't mean any much. Almost doesn't count.
Last 35 seconds, it's gone, flown by, isn't it? The second corner. Oh, he hurt his fingertips there with the smashing attempt to try and dunk the ball. Nwabuzor. Look at, oh, it's just great defensive play from Miller Jr. just to stop and get rid of Roebuck Jr. The junior's coming to the fore today.
Yeah, it is a junior business there, but Roebuck Jr. had no business with that dribble. He had a clear route, and you just get the feeling that the bounce sort of slowed him down and gave Miller an opportunity to catch up, and block it was. But Odeke is now on the charity line and misses the first one.
Looking for his first points for City Oilers. It's Coach Zdechevich. I think that he's going to go into the locker room, and he's going to be speaking with as much passion as he always does, regardless of this scoreline, because he just knows that you just can't take your finger off the pulse. He's such a major player when it comes to committing his players to right to the very end. Last play of the quarter, last play of the half, and it had to be scored by Iru Egbu or Nwabuzor, one of the two Nigerians who are, well, very much dominating the show out here today for Slack. Incredible basketball off the glass and in. And City Oilers, well, it's 25 points for the Ugandan Giants. 40.
It is halftime, 25 for City Oilers and 44 for Guinea's Slack. As we head into the halftime, this is Voice of America's special coverage of the third season of the Basketball Africa League. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. We are watching a game between the debutants, Uganda City Oilers, making their, this is their third match of the game, but this is their first time they're making an appearance in the Basketball Africa League. Both teams are hoping to get their first win after losing both their last two games. Uganda lost to Al Ahly, Egypt's Al Ahly, Guinea lost to Ferroviario de Beira. It is 25-44, Mokbill. What is going on with my guys at the City Oilers?
Man, the City Oilers, like we've mentioned, only have James Justice Jr. in double digits at 10 points. Outside of that, there has been a struggle in offense for the team. Then you have Eslak that has really just been able to put together quite a few different team members getting involved, especially shout out to Emeka Nwazibor. He is out here with 13 points, really leading the troops on the Eslak side. You also have Irugbu that we spoke about already with a solid 7. Dane Anthony Miller only has 2 points, but he has been a part of the offense. You know, he has about 4 rebounds and 8 assists. That is a number that goes to show you that he is being very selfless. He's the type of player that knows he can go and get his points, but he's making sure that he is, allowing his other teammates to shine. He might be saving himself for the second half. Jackson.
The second half is going to be very crucial for the City Oilers. Again, they're looking for their first win if they're going to make that trip to Kigali, Rwanda, which is everybody's wish for the City Oilers team. We're going to be speaking with Grace Kwizera Muguri, the manager of the City Oilers, in the post-game coverage, and hoping that, if they do win, that will be a great chat with him, because
if they don't win, I think he'll still have some, positive takeaways for the team.
It'll be a different level of energy. So even though we're supposed to be neutral here, we're hoping that if they're getting this. But we're, trying to connect with Albert Ahabwe. He says he's moving to a place that that has network. He's in Kampala, Uganda. Albert Ahabwe is a sports analyst, basketball analyst in Kampala, Uganda. Again, if you're just joining us, this is the Basketball Africa League coverage on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi. I'm in studio with my boy, Mokbill Yabaro.
Yes, sir.
Mokbill, how are you feeling about this game right now? I mean, based on the numbers, because numbers don't lie. Men lie. Numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't lie.
What are your predictions based on how going into the third quarter now for both teams?
So Jax, let's just run by some numbers, right? So it is 44-25 for Eslak. They have a 19-point lead. Eslak is shooting 46% from the field, whereas the City Oilers are shooting 24%. They got to get that percentage up. They got to get higher quality shots. Assist ratio, right? When we look at Eslak as a team has 15 assists. To the 6th assist from the City Oilers. Steals are relatively close. 4 steals for Eslak, 3 steals for the City Oilers. And the 3-point shot is relatively close as well, with Eslak having scored 5 threes out of their 13. And the City Oilers have 4 for 17. So they've shot more and they have scored 1 less. But it just goes to show you that they really have to do a better job at keeping the ball. Slack is doing good at protecting the ball, and it has shown to be positive for them.
And let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It's Masterell on the beat, baby.
Get some money since I was 13. Try to be rich before 30. Got a billion in my mind. No one can stop me, cause I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler, I'm a hustler. I work hard every day, 9 to 5 just to get my daily bread. Pray hard every day, asking God to bless my way. Troubles may come my way, trials may come my way, but I keep on doing my thing. Nothing will knock me down, down. Berceau, je visais très haut. Connu dans le réseau pour mes raisons. Gala dans la saison, j'ai pris mes décisions. Moi je veux l'argent pour cette saison. Cause I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. I'm a hustler. You never give up. You know things are hard for you. Keep your head up. You know one day God will come through. Troubles may come my way, trials may come my way, but I keep on doing my thing. Nothing will knock me down, down.
Basketball Africa League special coverage on the Voice of America of the third season of the league that is happening in Cairo. This is the Nile Conference. The Nile Conference is underway in Egypt, and we continue to bring you live coverage of the games as the teams battle it out for a spot in the playoffs next month in Kigali, Rwanda. And for this third season, like we said earlier, BAL divided the games into the Sahara Conference, which took place in Dakar, Senegal, from March 11th to the 21st. Currently playing in Cairo is the Nile Conference, which runs from April the 26th to May 6th, and the playoffs and the finals will be in Kigali, Rwanda, from May the 21st to the 27th. And this afternoon, we are watching the game between Uganda City Oilers playing their third game against Guinea's Slack. Both teams lost their last matches, and I'm sure they're coming into this hoping to get their first wins. And so far, looks like Slack is,
man,
is ahead. City Oilers struggling a little bit on the defense and the offensive end, and also on the ball movement, and Slack creating that gap, that space, you know.
Yeah.
So as they go into this halftime, the momentum is on Slack's side.
I feel like points from turnovers, Slack has had 7 points off of turnovers that that the City Oilers have done. City Oilers have only been able to score one basket off of turnovers, but the biggest challenge and the biggest takeaway from this first half has been points in the paint, right? Points in the paint for Slack, 22 points in the paint in comparison to 8 points in the paint for the City Oilers. What does that mean? Higher quality shots, easier for them to be able to just get the ball, you know. When you just drop the ball down low, or if you're assisting, you know, we're seeing the big man, Dane, he's coming down. Even though he has shot opportunities at the free throw line, he's not taking the first shot. You know, he's passing the ball so that they can get closer reads, get layups. They're getting to the free throw line a lot. So they're playing a more poised game.
Yeah.
You know, City Oilers, sometimes what ends up happening is when a lead is established by the opposition, you tend to play in this level
you're
of
playing catch up.
Yeah, you're playing catch up. It's,
yeah,
it's almost like a desperation type of game where you're not setting up, you're not playing your game. But what they need to do in the second half, and as I'm sure what coach is telling them is.
And that was going to be my question. What kind of conversations is the coach having right now?
Man, coach is telling them, look, we're doing what we've done every single game so far. Play amazing in the second half, but in the first half, it's as if we're not even interested in the game, you know? In order to play, in order to win in this league, you need to play a complete game. So we can't fix what we did in the first half. Let's come back in the third quarter and minimize this lead.
All right.
You know, 19 points is a big lead.
And listen, third quarter is where the separation happens. Fourth quarter is where teams win the games. And so we'll see if the City Oilers are hoping to get their first win, this third quarter is going to be very important, very critical for them. And I'm hoping that the coach is having that conversation about getting to the basics, pass the ball, rebound, go back to the defense.
Right.
You know, when you get those fast breaks, convert them into points.
Right.
Do the basics. Do not wait for the other team, for slack in this case, to run up the board and in the hopes that in the fourth quarter, that's when you'll catch fire and get the momentum. This is not how it works, man. It is one of those few moments. And again, in the game between City Oilers and El Ahly that played on Saturday, we saw El Ahly leading up to 34 points at some point. And it was only in the fourth quarter that the City Oilers fought their way back after, you know, some poor coaching decisions on the part of El Ahly to not call timeouts and, you know, make some changes where he was, you know, basically, I think he had just gotten too comfortable and brought in his reserves, his bench, and they were playing. They played the whole time, and you know he almost lost the game because of poor decisions. And I don't think Slack is going to make the same mistakes. Slack coach, a very experienced coach. I think he coached Zamalek. He has coached Zamalek and some other big teams on the continent, so he's very well experienced. And you know, City Oilers should not count on those type of mistakes in the hopes that in the fourth quarter they will come up and try to kind of, you know, decrease on the lead of Slack, because when it gets that far along in the game and the other team has caught momentum, sometimes it's tough to, you know.
It's a wrap.
It's
Jax, you know, Jax is trying to find the nice way
I'm
to say.
I'm trying to be more politically
trying to be politically correct. It's a wrap, you know. And sometimes when the going gets tough, huh?
the tough get going.
But honestly, the interesting thing about this has been we spoke about both teams and what they needed to do in the first half. Slack has come out, you know, Emeka Nwazbor.
Yes,
you know, he came out 14 points on 50% from field goal percentage, 3 assists. And he's shooting the three-pointer at a 40% clip.
That is really good. Anything above 35 is really good.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, so Emeka is probably going to be the difference maker for Slack. Slack's up guys like Roback, James Jr., so Orlando Jones.
Anthony Miller. Erugbu for Slack,
yes.
for the Ugandan side is the Philando Jones,
yeah.
James Justice Jr. is the only one who seems like he came to play.
Right,
he has 10 points, 38% from the field, 3 steals, and he's shooting 33% from a 3-point line.
James Jr. was very critical in the first game. He made I think 22 points. The last game against El Ahly didn't do so well.
Yeah, about 10 points.
You know, we have these players on this roster that you know have these moments of brilliance, but then when the next game comes, you don't see them anywhere.
you know that's a great point. You know, the interesting thing about basketball, especially on a high level, is that there are so many players that can give you these instances of brilliance, but what truly makes a player you know, great, right? That can play on the highest of levels, because some of these men have played overseas, they played pro ball. But what is it that, you know, hasn't allowed
D1
some
one here?
Right. Right. Mm. What is it that didn't allow some of them to play, you know, at the NBA level? It's not their skill set, it's just the lack of consistency, right? NBA players, from a consistent standpoint, can give you 15, 20. You think 15 is an easy number?
It's
some
not.
Of the greats have been able to average like 16, 17.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. Like, you think about it, because we're so infatuated with, like,
with the numbers,
with the 40, 50 point games, but who's really putting up those numbers on
very
a consistent
few people, very basis? Few people. There are very few Steph Curry's.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Steph Curry, shout out. Man. My guy's been cooking this season, this playoff season.
Man, honestly, if we just, you know, quickly go off topic, as I'm sure our listenership are also watching the NBA
Absolutely.
Playoffs as
the NBA,
well.
Yes.
LeBron versus Steph in the next round.
Epic game.
Man.
Epic matchup. Two of the greatest to ever play the game.
That's usually a finals right
we
there.
We are watching,
you know?
History in the making. This is going to be, because LeBron will not want to lose this series.
I don't think Steph wants to lose
and
either.
Steph is not going to lose either. Guys, we are back in the third quarter, 9 minutes and 50 seconds so far, 25 for City Oilers, 44 for Slack. Let's go back to Cairo.
From Noah Brizor.
It's great eyes there from Conde. He positioned himself very well and had eyes on the basket, and it is 2 points.
Jones goes down into the corner, Justice Jr., unable to get his range. Taking it very quickly. Oh, that's nicely done. That's very nicely done from Jones. Just taking the ball straight out of the air from that Miller pass. Now, where's the movement? Off the ball. They need to keep shuffling and moving. Roebuck Jr. tries to go around the outside. No options. Justice Jr. goes through the middle. Goes up and in. That is sensational.
It is a beautiful drive there against 4 Slack players. This goes to show you that Justice Jr. is a man who's effective. And that's 12 points for Justice Jr.
Iruegbu. Fofana down into the corner, and there's a chance for 3 off the rim on the wrong side. Picked up, and the City Oilers looking to try and get some scores. Here's Jones for 3. It's a very fine score indeed.
There's a timely 3-pointer there from Jones to bring the City Oilers within 16 points of Slack and just get that rhythm going in perfect way and reaction in the third quarter.
Noah Brizor. Fofana outside, Conde with the screen. Noah Brizor goes up and it goes in. Nice, neat. Very smooth. Justice Jr. does wonderful things, and here's Jones, gets rid of his man. Just a little quite low with his effort there, but still, it's been picked up. Fofana gives it to Dane Miller Jr. Of course, he gets the points.
Now, Dickett trying to play defense there, but Miller Jr. gets the better of him.
I'm just very impressed by the speed. The speed of Slack and what they do. This is Miller! Dunking it in a big way.
Miller Jr. Always great to see him into flight mode and just continuing from where he stopped in the second quarter.
Roebuck Jr. with a great score from down in the corner. Big 3 coming from that man.
There's so much space there. It looks like Slack lost concentration and made it very easy for Roebuck Jr. to score.
There's Fofana around the outskirts, waits patiently, using the clock. But he's going on a bit of a dance and a little bit of contact there from Barnaba. And it'll give us the chance to go over to QQ. Fast and frantic, just like the first half between these two teams who are very eager to make their mark in this BAL.
Yeah, I must praise Slack for the execution. They have really played outstanding basketball. They have assisted on almost 18, well, they've assisted 18 times on 23 field goals. That's ball distribution of the highest quality. And they've done it in a very controlled manner. They've also only turned the ball over 4 times in the game. They've taken control of the ball. They've tried to execute, and they've done so. And that's why they have the significant lead.
33-52. Thanks very much, Q. You can see 7 points for Iroegbu. And a rebound. And another foul has been committed. A little bit of frustration there defensively from the City Oilers. And they'll go again.
Well, looking at the body language from the City Oil players, it just look like they need to communicate more as a team and just get going with that momentum. But so far, Slack are happy with the way they're playing. Iroegbu, a Nigerian international, has represented the West African nation in World Cup qualifiers.
Jones. Odeke Barnaba. He goes himself, Jones, and he draws the foul as well from
Konde.
Konde, yeah, absolutely.
It's his second personal foul. The minute there's movement there, it is a foul. But on the other side, he's been effective. Just scoring there for the Guinean champions as Jones focuses on that free throw.
It's an interesting scenario. When you actually look at the scorers in this Slack team, all starting five players have got big points, and then you've got Mara, who's got 7 points as well. But besides, there's only six players who've actually got points for Slack going into this third quarter. Five out of the six starting five. Just to give you an idea of how they perform. They really do rely on the starting five, but Mara has been underlined, and Coach Zetzerich will talk about him, you know, 24-7. It was a wild pass from Slack on that occasion from Miller Jr. He'll talk about him until the cows go home, Usher.
He deserves it. He's the most senior player on the Slack side. He's been with them since 2018. He understands the fabric of the team. He has a good relationship with Zetchevich, and it shows on the court.
Jones goes up and he tries to drop a two in. The offensive rebound from Odeke doesn't see them regain possession. Back out. Nwabuzo waits patiently, using the clock, just like Coach Zetchevich said. Comes out wide into the hands of Iroegbu. Iroegbu with a drive. No foul committed and made safe by the City Oilers. Or has it? No, it hasn't. They get it again, and look what they do. That's just how effective they are. Fantastic score there from Ismail Konde. And again, going to steal the ball once again. And, well,
it is
goes out of play.
This is beautiful to see from Slack. They're literally throwing everything on the court, and it just goes to show you how this is the final that they said it would be. They need to win this game, and that's how they're playing, like a team that wants to win.
They've definitely got the bite. Voracious activity on court by the men in black. Justice Junior swings it out wide to Jones. Jones, Barnaba, big Barnaba bucket there. And a well-needed one for the City Oilers. Slick indeed.
It is a seventh three-pointer there for the City Oilers. It's timely. It keeps them alive in this fixture. And they've mostly struggled in the third quarter, but they seem up to the task here today.
Long-range shot, another great score down in the corner. Iroegbu.
Iroegbu has been incredible in the night. 11 points for the man. And he's enjoying every second.
Barnaba waits for him. Shot clock down to single digits. And that's Justice with a fantastic score. He goes up to 14.
He finds his way in that paint and can see the precision. He looks up, sees four players playing defense on him, but he still gets the 2 points.
Yeah, nice. Battle taking place here now for Fofana. Fofana gets the ball out into the hands of Dane Miller Jr. That's a lovely touch, isn't it? Lovely, lovely skills there from Dane Miller Jr. 40 points to 60.
It is the celebration there from Miller Jr. that is interesting.
That is brilliant as well from Justice Jr. Back-to-back scores for that man, the shooting guard for City Oilers. We need to go over to Q with frantic stuff. You're going to get neck ache if you actually look very quickly from one end to the other. It's crazy.
It's end-to-end and a very important period of play. The City Oilers want to make a run, hopefully just before the close of the fourth. The shot goes up and in. And if they can spur and kickstart the offense, they will be able to try and fight back. But Slack have just been excellent in execution.
That's four players into double figures as Justice Jr. tries to drop in a big long-range bomb from downtown. Four players in double figures and a couple more on the cusp of hitting double digits. It's just pretty impressive, isn't it? But Slack are really just finding options from all over the court. But it's great to see. That's a great drive as well, and a fantastic score from Fofana once again. He moves up into 14 points.
That's a big stat from Slack. But this man, 8 points, 4 rebounds, 8 assists. He's literally chasing a triple-double in what could be the first of this man conference, Dane Miller Jr.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. We'll take a break. 42-65. Oilers trail Slack.
Slack is upset 65-42. They are in a timeout with about 2 minutes and 58 seconds left in the third quarter. It is going to be a challenge for the City Oilers to get back in this game, but they are back from timeout, and we will be back. Let's head back to Cairo.
Like champions.
Yeah, when you look at the way Slack are playing, they deserve to have this lead that they have, and they've been working so hard to achieve that. But now it's the business end of the quarter, and they want to see how to finish strong.
That's a big score from that man Fofana as well, just showing us what he's capable of doing. Miller picks it up into the middle. Conde, there he is. Miller goes up again, and that's a great score from in the paint, muscling his way between the Giants and just dealing with the City Oilers' defense to make it 44-67. We need to go over to Q just to find out what kind of information we're getting from the bench, because it's going to be important. Now, both teams are capable of comebacks.
We've seen the character of both of these teams through our conference play and certainly are capable of comebacks. But Coach Manager Rooney wants his team to play just a little bit more defense. He says that they're playing for 12 or 15 seconds, needs them to play for 24 seconds on the shot clock. And we'll see if they're able to execute that out of the timeout.
Miller goes up. Miller for the layup. And again, he gets more points. He's just he's steamrolling now. He's got 12 points in the bag and looking very strong in this Slack team. End-to-end action. Jones to Odeke. 3-point shot for Odeke. Just a little bit short. Barnaba, and that's been stolen. It's there for Miller if he wants it. Miller goes up for two.
That is a six straight unstoppable points for that man, Den Miller Jr. But really, self-destruction there from the City Oilers. They just have eight offensive rebounds in three quarters in this game, and that always gives Slack an opportunity to go into the transition and score easily.
It's a mid-range two, and that's a great score as well. He saw that there was a guy who was 15 times bigger than him just in front of him. He just made that short, that little adjustment to get the mid-range two.
Looking at Slack just running down that clock and making sure that they have the best shot selection.
That's a massive score again. Iroegbu!
It's a beautiful finish from Iroegbu. He's up to 16 points, and that is a team high so far on the court. And they're looking good, the Ghanaian champions.
Jones really strong in the paint. And a good drive through traffic gets the points and will go to the free throw line. I can't believe it's just 15.7 seconds left in this third quarter. When you're not looking at the clock and it all just happens so quickly, you just realize just how frenetic and how lively the game is. It's been extraordinary.
Well, you talk about lively, but the City Oilers feel like they're dealing with rocket science here tonight. It doesn't seem like the game of basketball that they're used to. But John's on the line and wanting to use every moment to reduce that deficit and see how they can turn things around in the last quarter.
There's Jones with that free throw score, 49-76. It's a 27-point advantage here. Have to try and reduce that, but still in range. Very fast and frantic attempt to try and get the score from out wide from Dane Miller Jr. But there is a foul that's been picked up, and it goes against the City Oilers, who will just go to the free throw line. Miller again, going to try and give himself a 15-16-point tally, moving up level with Iroegbu, our Nigerian scoring master.
Well, it's really been a tough night for the City Oilers, but talking about that man, Den Miller Jr., very, very lethal player. The City Oilers have failed to deal with him in the paint. He's quick on his feet. He's effective on the drive to the basket. He can shoot from the perimeter and on the free throw line, as we see with that attempt there.
Yeah, that's it. 77, 28-point lead, and that's the end. No, there's a foul that's been committed, and and some little bit of frustration.
And referee from Egypt, Wael Mostafa, World Cup bound this summer, calls the referee and it's shooting too. But Jimmy Enabu misses on the free throw line. He's been with the City Oilers for almost a decade now. Started out his professional basketball career in Entebbe with the Knight Riders and joined UCU Cannons and then later the City Oilers.
That was the unsportsmanlike foul from Alpha Cabo. We got 2.3 seconds. Last play of this third quarter. I got a chance, got to get a shot in. Jones needs to go up. Doesn't go. Buzzer goes. And it's 49-77. The City Oilers very much trailing slack going into this final fourth quarter. It's a lot of intriguing basketball to look forward to, that's for sure. We'll take a break.
It's the end of the third quarter in Cairo. City Oilers 49, Slacks 77. Slack being able to create that separation. Mugbill, what is happening to my guys at the City Oilers?
28-point lead for the Ghanaian side. Eslak, they are really continuing to dominate everything that they did in the first half. They really doubled down. They had a 19-point lead originally, have been able to extend it. they're doing everything right.
I mean, you could make the argument that at some point in their last game with Al Ahly, they were down 34 points in the third quarter, but they were able to make up that deficit in the final minutes of the fourth quarter and almost won the game. But you don't want to be in that position. Why do you continue to put yourself in a position where you're climbing up a deep hole when you could, you know, make those stoppages in the beginning, create a difference that is actually manageable? I understand 5 points, 10 points, but 30 points, 20-something points, that's a big difference. And I'm quite sure we'll see some of those players like Roback Jr.,
yeah,
Philando Jones, Odeke. I saw a young man from Somalia too who is representing on the City Oilers.
Abdi Gedi. Hakim Gedi, but my guy got to get on the score sheet. He's got to get.
But in terms of field goals, Slack is shooting at 56%. Uganda is only 35%. Assists, Uganda City Oilers 10%. And Slack is like in
25. So I think to me the most important thing is they're keeping the ball. They're making sure not to turn the ball over. But the fourth quarter is underway.
And it's critical for them.
This is going to be a key next 10 minutes for the City Oilers.
Let's go back to Cairo.
Belongs to the City Oilers. Here they are. Justice Junior tries to get another chance for a shot. Shot clock down to four. It's a big shot. Not been made safe. Picked up. It has been made safe by Slack. Slack go on a fast, quick transition. Not on this occasion. Not so quick. But look what's happening down in the corner. That's a little bit short for once from Iroegbu. Yeah. Not short on information. Is that man on the court side? Hugh, what have you got for us?
I think we just need to highlight 44 points in the paint for this Slack team. They've shot the ball well from the outside, but they've completely dominated the inside, 44-18. And Coach Mandy Giruni just really believes that there's an opportunity for his team to come back, but they've got to do it possession by possession.
Well, they've got to destabilize and unsettle the Slack team. And at the moment, they're extremely focused and they're extremely dynamic at the moment. They're feeling very confident in the way that they're playing, and they have options. A lot of it goes through this man here, but not only. Let's face facts in the eye. You've got two Nigerians and a whole long list of Guinean stars who are performing out here. It really has been great play. There's Justice Junior who goes up, unable to do anything. It gets knocked back, but it's knocked back by a Slack player.
I can tell you that the body language has changed for the Oilers. They're in the game, but they're losing possession easily, and they have to do better on defense. If they want to get anything out of this last quarter, they are 26 points down, and they need to be able to take care of the ball and give themselves a second chance on the offensive side when a player goes up to the bucket. But John's doing so much of the work on the offensive side. And on the other side, you have Miller Jr. adding to his count. 16 points for the American.
Yeah, no, he's been very, very, very strong. But, you know, you can't win a game by yourself. You need to have players who come in and help you. We've got certain players who need to just throw themselves into the mix and just get those passes out to create scoring opportunities. It's been complicated for the Oilers, but to see Jones just dissect that defense on the last play was a good sign that, you know, this Slack defense can be dealt with.
Yeah, that's right. But also on the other side, you have Segun Obe, the BAL Elevate player from the NBA Africa Academy in Salin, Senegal, just doing the right things in that paint. He gets the ball, he fakes, goes around the defense, tries to put the ball up, and gives himself another chance, and the Oilers on possession.
Barr picks up another foul, and that is his second tonight. Okello waits for some help, comes out, and a chance for them to go for a drive. That wasn't a bad option there coming in from that man, Obi.
And looking at that, Oilers are playing small. They want to run in transition, but they have to be able to play good defense to earn the ball.
Miller Jr., this is what he does so well. He waits, bites his time, and then goes in for the kill. That's a fantastic score. How he dealt with the defense and going under and out. Extraordinary.
Miller is unstoppable today. You can see on both ends of the court, he's literally leaving everything on the court.
Three-point effort there from Jones. Jones unable to deal with it. It's been picked up. That's nicely done by Okello to get that offensive rebound. Justice Jr. tries to go down that side. That's a great score. And I think the points count as well. He draws the foul at the same time.
It's a nice bucket there from Justice Jr. He's able to read the court and see an opening. One-on-one, foul and basket, and he heads to the free throw line. But on the other side, Miller Jr. beats Okello, goes under the rim, and it's so beautiful to see how he's enjoying himself today and the bench literally celebrating with him.
Justice Jr. to the free throw line. Looking to try and reduce the arrears, and it's 54 points now. 26 point difference with 7 minutes remaining. And here they go again, out wide, an opportunity for a three-point score. There's a little bit of... There's a foul by Slack there, just a little push that sees the City Oilers pick up possession. He hasn't eked out a smile just yet, has he, Coach Zeljko Zecevic? But I'm sure that he will at the end of this game. At one moment, it's work in progress.
The Savian is very much an emotional coach on the side. And to see out this...
Yeah, that's Mara with his second foul for Slack. Back in possession, the Oilers, Jimmy and Abu. And a chance in the paint to try and find their way through. That's nicely done. It's really good work. They needed to deal with that. Okello with the drive and the score.
And it's a timely basket there from Okello under the hoop. He knows that he had his eyes on the glass and easy 2 points.
There's Miller. Miller, oh, that was just a little. Was there any contact there? And if there was on the Dan, didn't touch it finally. The points go... No, they don't. They don't count the points. There was some contact in it with it coming down. Do you see?
Yeah, it was going to be a nice flutter there, but he would have wanted it to be a dunk, but he'll have to wait to make another alley-oop.
Justice Jr. Boys, he was being completely covered and very complicated, and just look at what they... Two chances to score. An opportunity to pick up possession. Justice Jr. doing really well. Goes there. Oh, he just couldn't pick it up and take it up and drive it down Seginubi.
It was nice eyes there from Justice Jr. to pick out Obe, but it was slippery hands as Slack get back possession. And now you can see there's a consistency in the way that Slack want to run out the clock.
Yeah, that's goaltending, I'm afraid. It was on its way down. The idea was good from Fofana, just a fraction too... From Robert Jr., just a fraction too late.
Yeah, it was goaltending there. And looking at the replay, Roegbu...
Sorry, it's Obey. Do apologize.
And blocked, but it counts as a basket for the Guinean side.
Nicely done. An opportunity. Here he is, Obe. But he can't just get in there. Forced to get it up and over. Miller. Alley-oop. Oh, that was so close. Hanging on the rim. And I'm afraid that's not going to count. He was lingering with intent over there. Q, did you see that? You scored a few baskets like that before.
Well, I mean, at this stage, they can try just about anything. They've barely done anything wrong. Have the Slack basketball team on the offensive end. So
There's still 5 minutes, though, and I don't think they can afford to just let lapses of concentration seep into their play.
We've seen 18 turnovers from the City Oilers and just six from Slack, just to give us an idea of, you know, just how effective they are of holding the ball and keeping possession, which has been primordial for them today. 58-82, and lots of fast basketball being played here as we enter the final 5 minutes. Fofana goes on a drive, nice little twist and turn. It goes out and stays in play. Conde around the outside, around the inside. Good passing of the ball, and the shot clock is down. Oh, it's still alive. And there it is. Good rebound. And strong play once again. Ismail Conde. Conde up to 12 points now.
Everything that can go right for Slack is literally doing so tonight.
Long range three-pointer! Justice Junior up to 23 with a bombastic shot from out wide.
It is 26 points actually for Justice Junior.
Drive into the paint in an attempt to try and get the ball. There's the offensive rebound. No, slight touch just to allow the ball to drop in from Fofana. Gets knocked out of bounds. Slack get possession, and I think we've got a timeout. I'll take a commercial break. 61-84. We'll be back in a moment. And Usher and I are back here in Cairo. 3:58 remaining, 61-84, the 23-point difference. Four fouls, team fouls for Slack, one for City Oilers. And a little bit of frantic basketball to be played here in the final 4 minutes, Usher.
Yeah, when you look at Slack, they know they have their destiny figured out in this game, and they want to maintain that. You can see that when they have possession, they want to run down the clock, use that opportunity to deny the City Oilers any chance of reducing this deficit.
Here he is, Justice Junior. He's the top scorer out here today, but it's the Oilers are up against it now, and there's Roebuck Junior trying to find his range. Jones goes for the offensive rebound. There is a little bit of contact coming in from Mamburu Mara, the 19-year-old Guinean international.
Looking at Jones, Philander Jones, he's very key in helping the City Oilers to qualify for the BAL. They've been knocking on that door for two seasons, and finally here they are. They literally put everything on the court against Petro de Luanda. They almost came back against Al Ahly, the Egyptian champions. But tonight, this is a whole different City Oilers team, and so many of the fans in Kampala cannot recognize what they're seeing on the court right now.
Yeah, they'll come back. That fight back against Al-Ali, where they just lost by two, was quite extraordinary. We saw what they can do. I want to go across to Q&R, pick his brains about, you know, what they can do. I think, Mandy Giruni, the last time against Al-Ali, when they were going into the final quarter, it was just like, go and enjoy yourselves, play some basketball. Is that the kind of message that you're getting from the side of the court today?
Well, he's still emphasizing defense and what they've got to try and do, speed up the possessions here from Slack. They've not been able to successfully do that. And they've got to either do that through a press or a trap. But you see, it's still just all too easy. Driving lanes are open and Slack have been fantastic. We can't reiterate it enough.
Yeah, you need to basically get some large lumps of rock to sort of, you know, just block those driving lanes so that they can't actually go through them, Asha. I think that that's, you know, there aren't many options in how to stop these guys, because they are finding every single path possible into the paint and find getting the buckets and putting the points up on the scoreboard. It's complicated for the Oilers.
Yeah, complicated for them, but Iroegba is the man of the moment. 18 points on the scoreboard for the Nigerian international. I just saw him in warm-up before the game, listening to music, locked in, trying to stay focused and get ready for tonight. And I'm not surprised that he is performing the way he is here.
This will be a massive celebration. This will be for Slack. Jones goes up, doesn't manage to slam it in. Picked up by Miller Jr. Miller Jr. responds in emphatic fashion.
It is great reaction there from Dan Miller Jr., who's been having so much fun and sort of sending a message to Jones and saying, hey, this is how you do it.
Look at this drive. That was absolutely sterling. They were looking left and right, and it just all opened up, the big boulevard, and he was making sure that was rammed in and the points were secured big time. 24 points, but he gets a technical.
He gets a technical foul.
And we go up to the free throw line, of course.
Yes.
At the other end.
Absolutely. Justice Jr., who's shooting at 100% on the free throw in the Nile Conference, converts that one. It's 27 points for the American. He has a game high, but it won't matter if the Oilers don't come back and win this game.
We've had two teams that have managed to break the 100-point barrier. Mwezi gets his first minutes on court as well. Ivan Mwezi, the 25-year-old national team player for Uganda, of course. Beira and Petra Luanda all hitting 100 points. Trying to go around, outstretched right arm for Iroegbu. Doesn't manage to see it drop into his final chosen destination, but he does draw the foul.
And that's the second time that Iroegbu attacks the basket, and he knows that if he targets Robert Jr., he'll get off the ground, and he has a chance at getting the foul and a trip to the free throw line, and he's back right where he wants to be.
More points on his tally. Iroegbu has been extraordinary. Point guard, Nigeria. Sorry, carry on, Asha.
Yeah, as Konde cheers on from the Slack bench just to support his teammate.
Is Bale going up for a long-range shot? From way downtown, Miller Jr. makes it safe. Been a great collective performance this has been from Slack, but you know, they read the game well. They've got a good, strong coach. The ball just slipped out into the hands. It's a travelling call, though. I think it just squirmed out of the hands of Miller Jr. into the hands of Ibrahima Fofana.
Yeah, they'll be disappointed, Slack, with how that ended, because Miller Jr. had a mismatch against Bale Fayed. He could have driven to the paint, but he chose to pass the ball around and lost it.
Picked up, made safe by Jones, the rebound and the foul committed. I think it's Fofana who commits the foul, so that might be his third.
And just to see how serious Slack are, they're playing man-to-man defense. And it's just less than 2 minutes to go here. They don't want to make any mistakes.
Justice Junior off the medal for Fana, down into enemy territory. Picked up. That's nicely done. That's a beautiful score as well. Perfectly done by Nwabuzor. Again, the danger that they have and the options. It's great movement off the ball, which you, when you see it, you can see that there are so many things that are opening up opportunities as they go again. 1:11 left to play. Bale waits patiently. Justice Junior. Long-range three-pointer. Nice score. Sumptuous score. And a big three-pointer to take them up to 65.
And it's 30 points for Justice Junior.
Iroegbu doing really well. They're just unable to just get it off the boards. Bali picks it up. Jones. Nicely done by Jones. Well, it's anybody's. Whoever wants it can have it. Oh, a little butter fingers there by Nwabuzor. It's probably the first mistake he's made all game. Incredible.
Well, he will look at you and say, no, it wasn't a mistake. It was the fingers. They were slippery or something.
Of course, guaranteed. No doubt about it.
Yeah, absolutely. As Coach Zecevic makes five changes, gives some of the bench players playing time. And the guys who go off all in double figures will be very proud of the performance here today. Slack, the Guinean champions, playing in a second consecutive season here in the Basketball Africa League. They're becoming a household name. And as they approach this victory, they'll be very, very pleased. That man, double digits. 12 points and 10 rebounds. A double-double. He'll be very pleased with his performance. He was also very crucial for them on defense and a good team player.
Bale shot off the glass and back down. Jones goes for a big three-pointer from Jones.
It's a great assist there from Ivan Muhwezi, who, by the way, belongs to the same class of 2016 that played at the FIBA Africa Under-18 African Championship in Kigali. That class has Jean-Jacques Wilson, for Rwanda Energy Group, and Shilde Dundao of Petro de Luanda. Great to see the three players here 7 years later.
Long range shot, 21 seconds, made safe, and taken away. A couple of players getting a chance to come out onto the court is Sompai. And decently done, there's Mara, nicely done. That's a good score for him. He goes up to... It's Mabil getting his first points tonight, having just come on. Bar, they're all being given a little bit of a run out. Sampare up for two. It's all just opening up, and that's the final score. A little celebration there for Sampare, the 17-year-old for Slack, to bring an end to this encounter. What an encounter. What a performance from Slack. The City Oilers have got a bit of work to do in their final two encounters, but the final score here in Cairo, City Oilers 68, Slack 94.
It is an emphatic victory there from Joko Zecevic, who'll be very pleased that Slack now have their first win here at the BAL. But just really that last play, Dan Miller Jr. passing the ball to Sompare, and he scores. You can see what it means for him. He was very patient on the bench, celebrating his teammates and how they played today. But just really getting that bucket means so much for the under-18 Guinean player.
In a moment, we'll get a reaction from Ibrahima Fofana. Guinean international, of course, played a great game with 14 points out here today. And a magical moment, playing an integral part in this Slack performance. Couldn't make the 100-point barrier, but 96 is pretty good. Let's get his reaction.
Merci, Ibrahim Khalil Fofana, d'être avec nous. Bravo, félicitations pour cette première victoire dans cette Nahel Conference. Quel était l'état d'esprit en entrant sur le parquet ce soir après vos deux défaites inaugurales?
Déjà après les deux défaites, nous étions très déçus.
Yeah, we were very disappointed after the first two losses.
Un très très émouvant, très spécial déjà. Il venait de la part de Dan Miller, qui porte la Guinée dans son cœur.
Very integral, Dan Miller. So it's a very emotional performance. We needed to fight here.
The fact that
the coach knows we didn't have any gymnasiums, and Coach Cetrovic saw the potential and has brought us to the highest level in basketball. So for that, it's boosted us. It's given us the comfort. And we said that he said that we weren't going to let go, and we never let go.
Alors, 14 points pour vous personnellement. On sait que vous êtes un gros défenseur. D'où vous est venu justement cette créativité, ce talent offensif?
Eh ben, déjà mes coéquipiers ont confiance en moi.
Yeah, my teammates have got a lot of confidence in me. And to be decisive defensively was, you know, one of the things that I do best, and they encourage me, and it just makes me feel proud to be part of this team and to help us get this win out here today.
Petro, qui sont de grosses équipes, quel sera le mot d'ordre avant d'aborder ces deux rencontres?
Eh bien, le mot d'ordre, il revient toujours au coach. Nous, on peut que
yeah, the words coming from the coach, and whatever words of wisdom he gives us, we'll take on board. Yeah, we need to be more disciplined. And that's what we need to respect coach's game plan. Physically, we need to get at the right level as well, and that's hopefully what we'll do against the big giants that we've got to take on in the final two games. He speaks of what Coach Zetchevich has done, Ibrahima Fofana. He's brought something special to this team from Guinea-Conakry, Usher. And, you know, this is where they are now. One quarter final last year, and now they've got their win, and they've released themselves, I get the impression.
Yeah, speaking to Fofana before the game, this is exactly what they wanted. They were locked in. They needed this victory. It was a do or die for them. But looking at the stats, the assist, 28 assists for Slack as compared to 13 for the City Oilers. You get the feeling that they were passing the ball around. They were ready to die for each other. And you have five of the starters literally scoring double digits. For me, that I think is an incredible performance. They can build on this going forward. But the City Oilers, they'll be very disappointed with this performance, especially after that comeback against Al Ahly when they came 2 points within touching distance of the Egyptian Giants.
Yeah, and they're getting 20 points from turnovers as well, Slack, and 23 fast break points. You can just understand, and topping the score charts is that man, Iroegbe, 22, Miller Jr., 20. And then look, 17, 14, and 12 with Conde at the bottom. But look at that. You've got the double-double from Conde. Outrageously good tonight.
Yeah, outrageously good. But James Justice Jr. with 30 points, 5 rebounds. Philando Jones with 20 points and 8 rebounds. But not really enough to help the Ugandan champions get that fast victory. It's now 3 straight defeats for them. They are in trouble, and their destiny may not necessarily be in their hands going forward.
Two players scoring.
Basketball Africa League special coverage right here on the Voice of America. I'm Jackson Vunganyi together with
Mark Bill Yabaro.
Mark Bill, it was 68-96 for the City Oilers, 68-96 for Slack from Guinea. This was a blowout.
28-point
There's
blowout.
No other way to call this. It was a blowout. The City Oilers needed this win, needed to get their first win. So did Slack, but obviously, based on this point difference, one team wanted it more than the other. What are the things that Slack did to give them this W?
I think as we were talking about earlier, the points in the paint just continued to grow in the second half, right? Slack had 58 points in the paint. You cannot allow a team, you know, that's playing that well already, that is already an efficient team, to be able to get that many shots in the paint. You then have 26 points for the City Oilers. And then look at the difference in the fast break points. Slack had 23 points off of fast breaks in comparison to 2 points for the City Oilers. That just means that Slack is doing really well as it pertains to keeping the ball and not turning the ball over. Mm. And even when they are in the full court offense setup for the City Oilers, they're not letting them score, you know?
Absolutely, and there was great execution on the defensive end for Slack. Many times they were doing basically the right things. And before the game, Mugume Davis Rwakarinji spoke to Grace Muguri Kwizera, who is the manager of the City Oilers in Kampala, Uganda.
In an interview with Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, City Oilers general manager Grace Muguri Kwizera talked about the team's domestic success, which includes 8 local championships in a row.
We are 8-8 champions because of our organization, because of our attention to detail, because we strive for excellence, like the group of companies that we come from, which is the Mandela Group.
Yeah, and talking about the domestic championships, in one of your recent games, you edged your nearest rivals, Namungo Blazers, 57-51 points. How much of a test was this now that you are preparing yourself for the ball?
We don't think it was a test because they aren't the best team that we have played this season. They were depleted at the time that we played them, but they have the belief. We played one half, in my opinion. At the halftime, we were up 20, and we were complacent defensively, and that's we noted down to playing bad basketball more than them being a good team at the time.
It looks like the rivalry between your teams, the Namungo Blazers and the City Oilers, doesn't end only from the courts. Also, you think, whatever, you don't talk good of them, probably you underrate them, or you think this time they weren't as good as they are supposed to, they usually are?
No, not at all. They'll probably be, if they get all the players that they are looking at getting, they'll probably be the ones who we end up meeting in the final. It's not about underrating them at all. If anything, we admire them. We admire their communication unit. We admire their merchandising. We admire the funds that they have managed to rally. We admire the amount of the home that they have gotten, which is in Namungo, which we haven't yet gotten. And so it's not that. It's just that in this game, they were the underdogs and we played a poor game.
All right. Let's go back to Baal. In the Nile Conference that you are competing in, you are pitted against some of Africa's best clubs, like Al Ahly of Egypt, Club Ferroviário of Mozambique, Atlético Petróleos of Angola. Would you say you are up the task as City Oilers, who are newcomers?
Absolutely. In the group that we're in, we have you talked about teams from Angola, from Egypt, from South Africa, from Guinea, and from Guinea and Mozambique. Now, as a country, Uganda is ranked as high up or just below Angola and Egypt, and the others are below us in FIBA ranking. So it's not an accident that we're here, because the players who play for City Oil also play for the Silverbacks. And so
the Silverbacks, the national team of Uganda.
Yes, the men's national team of Uganda is called the Silverbacks. And so we believe that we have enough to finish among the top 4.
And what is your strength? Would you say it's in defense? You'd say it's in, you have guys who can are able to score the 3 points in attack. What's your strength, you'd say?
Our strength is in our guards as a country and as a club, and we can go up against the best. If you look at the FIBA rankings on who are the highest scorers in Africa, our guards are always ranked up there, and therefore we expect to use those to take us to Kigali.
Let's go back to the qualifying to this round as well. How important was it for you when you guys qualified?
Oh, very important. You have to remember that We had a painful loss for the inaugural year for BAL. We were favorites to come out of the qualification round, and we lost two back-to-back games and had four players injured in that tournament. It never happens. And that misfortune caused us to miss out on the spot. So this was our first time, our second time of asking to make it to BAL, and we're happy to be here.
There's one thing qualifying, there's another thing also to maintain qualifying. Would you say even next time you're going to be able to qualify this round?
Absolutely. For the foreseeable future, the club that's going to represent Uganda is going to be City Oil.
You're so sure?
Absolutely.
Regarding this BAL, how important is it for City Oilers for the players themselves and for the country as well?
We're playing, like you said, we're playing the top 12 teams in Africa. And those top 12 teams are teams that are comprised of the national team players of those countries. Therefore, playing against them repeatedly makes you better as a player, and therefore better as a team. And that's the team, a private team like City Oilers, and a national team like the Silverbacks.
What is the mood currently in the training camp?
Oh, we're excited. We want to go. We've been raving to go. We have only just gotten a pass from BAL for us to travel, and so we intend to leave tomorrow and get ready.
No injury concerns. Everyone's charged for the game.
Yes, thankfully we have no injury concerns. Everybody is fit and ready to play.
After BAL, you'll be coming back to compete local as well. So basically you don't have enough time to prepare. You must be having a great squad depth if you are to compete in both competitions.
When we go to BAL, we have a reserve of at least 7 players who are also ready to play as soon as we come back to Uganda for the local league. And so we feel we prepared, anticipating that we have this the run in BAL, and we intend to run and deep into the tournament, and we have the equipment for it.
Of course, qualifying to this round is also good, but also going for the final round in Kigali is actually better. Talk to us, how important it is for you people to eventually qualify and be the final round?
Our target is to make the final four. That's our intention. So that means coming out of our group, coming to Kigali, and winning enough games to finish in the final four.
And would you say you're optimistic that you qualify to the next round, and why not?
Yes, absolutely. Like I said, in the group that we're in, we are ranked high enough and have the skill. We have the players who have the skill to come out of that group, if not win it.
The listeners, some of your fans will be watching your team, City Oilers, perform. Your message to them?
Our message is, as a club, we constantly try to do our very best to be fair, to be smart, to excel, to bring out the best of all our players, so that we can make ourselves proud, we can make our teammates proud, we can make our club proud, we can make the owners of the club, which is the Mandola Group of Companies, proud, and to make our country proud. And so as we go, we would like, we are carrying the Uganda's flag, and our intention is to win it for Uganda, and look forward to the support from Ugandans in Uganda and overseas.
So basically, when you're talking to these players, are they aware themselves that they are just not playing only for City Oilers or for themselves, they're also representing Ugandan flag?
Absolutely, 100%. As you know, very many of them play for the Silverbacks. They know that they are playing for their country, but it's also something that they have been told from when we started qualification in the round of 16 and the round of 32 before then.
For the players themselves, this is one of the Africa's biggest stage. For them playing in BAL, how important is it for them? And do you think it also motivates them to play even much harder because there are some other probably scouts that will be watching?
For sure. Firstly, when they are the place that every player's dream is to play for their country. That's the ceiling of excellence. And these boys are going to be playing in such an atmosphere. They're also going to be playing the 12 best teams in Africa, which is also what an athlete wants, to compete against the very best. In addition to that, we have players who are young enough to be going to schools, to colleges after they finish here, and these colleges will be taking a look at them at BAL. We have players who are in the who are in the age bracket to go professional outside of Uganda and Africa, and those are also being watched when we're playing in Bal. The motivation for all of them is there.
That's Grace Maguli-Quizera, general manager of Uganda's City Oilers Basketball Club. And he spoke with Magume Davis Raka Winge in Kampala. Now we'll hear from some fans of the City Oilers.
My name is Angela, a big, big fan of City Oilers. And I love Tony, Jimmy, Koma, basically the whole team. I love the whole team.
My favorite player, actually, I have many, but one in specific, Iron Man, Oxie Okello James, of course.
My favorite player, I am saying this because of where he took us when we were in the qualifiers in South Africa, Philando Jones.
My favorite coach is definitely our real coach, Manda Juruni, who's taken us miles and we're still going miles.
I expect nothing but to qualify. My boys have worked so hard to be in this position. So I'm very sure they also expect to qualify to go to Kigali come May after Cairo.
I can say all players are really good because every player is good in his or her his position and the caliber they play, the games they play.
And obviously, we all want to win the belt title and bring it back home.
I believe so. We are going to make it come May in Kigali.
We expect nothing less. We expect them to, you know, bring it back home so that we all celebrate together, and we are wishing them the best to qualify, and we know that they can do it because they are an amazing team and they have great teamwork.
It's not only the talent but also the discipline of the team and the communication of the players, whether new or old, the discipline of the players that pushing us to bar. So we are focused, we are determined to take the championship.
Let's go, Oilers, let's go! Let's go, Oilers, let's go! Pull through it, yeah, we gotta pull through it.
Yeah, yeah, we gotta overcome. Those are City Oilers fans sounding very optimistic about their chances. But the team has not been able to find a win at the Nile Conference. I remember the City Oilers are making their debut at the Nile at the Basketball Africa League. As the Basketball Africa League enters its third season, Nile Conference playing in Cairo. We are bringing to you live coverage here at the Voice of America. We just watched a game between City Oilers of Uganda and Slack of Guinea. And Guinea just, you know, basically crashed.
It was tough to watch. 96-68.
Mockbill, so what kind of haul is City Oilers in right now? What are their chances of making it to the playoffs?
So at the moment, City Oilers have lost three games, their first three games, to Eslak, Al Ahly, and Petro de Luanda. Their next two matches are against CF De Beira and Cape Town Tigers. Two games that I think they can potentially win. I think the two strongest teams in the conference at the moment are Petro and Al Ahly. So they got those out of the way. It would have put them in a better position if they would have got the win today against Eslak. But if they're still able to win two out of the five games and they go into it with having won two games and losing three, I think they'll still be in a decent position. But it is a very, very deep hole that they are in at
right.
the moment.
City Oilers, again, losing their third match. They needed this win. Slack also needed it, but obviously the guys who needed it the most put up the most effort. As we saw in the last game between Al Ahly and Uganda City Oilers, the Oilers were able to get back from a 34-point deficit to almost winning it in the final seconds. Again, you know, just to remind our listeners, we'll be bringing you live coverage of the game between Cape Town Tigers and Al Ahly, which is the team that is hosting really the Basketball Africa League right now in Cairo. That they have much confidence to win this because of the home court advantage. But again, going back to East Africa, countries that are representing right now
the East African bloc at the Basketball Africa League. Was Rwanda that played in the Sahara Conference. The Rwanda Energy Group. Right, this is an electric company, electricity company. But Rwanda Energy Group will be representing. They're hoping, or they were hoping, that their neighbors, the City Oilers from Uganda, would join them in Kigali. But their chances are looking too slim right now. And Rwanda might be the only East African country to represent. And so we want to bring you this conversation between Fares Magesa that our colleague from the Swahili Service, Sande Shomari, spoke to him about, you know, the Nile Conference and, you know, what he thinks about basketball in the region.
City Oilers from Uganda who are representing us, East African. However, we also have El Ahly, which also represents Zone 5. Which also belongs to our region in terms of the zones that have been divided by the basketball fraternity. So having said that, El Ahly started yesterday with registering a very big win, 92 against Ferroviario, 74. And today we're looking forward to see very good games. So versus Cape Town Tigers will play. However, our interest will be in the game between Club Atletico Petroleos de Luanda against the City Oilers. So we're looking forward to a very competitive game. And we as East Africans, we wish all the world all the best City Oilers from Uganda. And we hope that they will represent us well and keep the East African hope alive.
And coming to this situation, you know, Oilers, this is their first time. And Petro de Luanda have been there, have been in the finals, and it looks like they are one of the teams to fear in this competition. Are you expecting any surprises, or what is your expectation with the City Oilers going into this game?
Well, you're right that Club Atletico Petroleos de Luanda is one of the very strong clubs, considering the fact that Angola is a stronghold of basketball in Africa. Therefore, they have very good players, they have a very good team, and experienced players as well. However, in terms of basketball competition, Zone 5, which has 11 countries, of which City Oilers are playing the Zone 5, is also a very competitive zone. We have El Ahly, Zamalek, and all those kind of teams which have always been doing well. So I believe that City Oilers, they have had enough games that they've played, competitive games, with the champions of the of Africa, so to say. And in my opinion, they will do well. And despite the fact that they meet Petroleos de Luanda, which is a very strong club. So we have high hopes that City Oilers will represent as well.
And I know there are players like Big James Okello, and City Oilers has also Segun Ezekiel, who is on the Ball Elevate program. These guys are coming in facing a very stiff competition as of now. What do you expect on the other side, of course, with the experienced Petro de Luanda? Do they have to make a statement in this opening game? Or you think they believe they have time because of the experience and the mantra that they're bringing into this game?
In my opinion, I believe City Oilers will surprise everyone.
Really?
They will surprise.
Why is that?
That is my opinion. Petro de Luanda is a very strong team. They have very good players, experienced ones. But City Oilers also have played in the zone, which has a very competitive team. So they have also played in competitive games, and I believe they will be in a position to play well and register their first win.
And I know that in the first competition, we saw some surprises over there, especially on the conference that we thought, you know, some teams were coming for the first time, like the Ivory Coast team. And you saw what they did. So is this something that is giving you the opportunity to think, if that happened in the Sahara Conference, then will transfer to this Nile Conference?
That may not be the case. However, City Oilers is also a good team, despite the fact that they are They do not have experience compared to the Sartorius de Rwanda. But they have a very good technical bench. They have very good players as well. And the fact that they've played in the zone, which is the most competitive zone of all the zones in Africa, so I believe they will be able to do well and register a good game, and hopefully they will surprise everyone.
And while you're talking about the surprises looking forward, I think there's so much coming up in these games in this Nile Conference, so to speak. Any other teams that you think will come up and will be dangerous in this zone coming up for the Nile Conference that you're looking forward to?
In my opinion, El Ahly of Egypt is the most strongest team in this conference. And considering the fact that it also comes from Zone 5, in my opinion, I'm looking forward to see El Ahly and City Oilers doing very well in this conference.
And when you speak about that, you know, also people in Uganda right now are following to see what this team can do, as well as the Petro de Luanda in Angola. The fans are very excited, waiting for another zone, another participation here. So maybe for the zone of East Africa coming forward, close by, Tanzania, Kenya, what are they learning from City Oilers at this point, which you think, as far as you've been following this very closely?
I think our club players and leaders, we are also learning. And through this competition, we will also have to do what it takes to ensure that the next edition of Basketball Africa League, our teams also advance to this stage. In the past, we had some teams which tried. JKT, they did well. However, they fell short of qualifying to the conference level. But the fact that this is the third edition, I believe in the fourth edition, we will do well. So we wish all the best to our teams also. And when we see teams like City Oilers, which is very close, we play with them every day, reaching this stage. And then it gives confidence to our players that if they can put more effort, they'll be also in a position to play the conference and possibly the final.
We also have an excerpt from our VOA podcast, Nothing But Net, with Mukbil and Sonny. We were joined by Abidjan Basketball Club head coach Liz Mills, the first and only female head coach in the Men's Basketball Africa League. Coach Mills discussed changes in the league, future growth in the BAL, the BAL Elevate program, and so much more. Take a listen. Let's get over to Coach Mills in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire. Coach, this is the second year in a row you've led a team to the BAL playoffs. Aside from the teams themselves, what have been some of the biggest changes for you from BAL season 2 to season 3?
Well, first and foremost, I'd love to thank Bill and Sonny, you both, for inviting me to be on the show again. I love your coverage of the BAL. So first and foremost, it's a honor to be asked to be on the show. And in response to your question, it's always a privilege to get an opportunity to coach in the BAL. And so I'm very happy to be back again for season 3. And I think the biggest change off the court is really the management of the league itself. I think, you know, every year it gets better. It gets more fluid, more smooth. Kinks are getting ironed out. And obviously, with, you know, COVID now not being an issue like it even was last year, we have a lot more freedom. And that means more fans are coming to the games. We've got more access to different facilities. And I think that helps develop the league in the home market, but also helps expose the league to new fans each year. I also would like to say that the BAL has done an amazing job improving their off-court projects, such as the BAL Advanced Program, which is a program which allows players to learn about branding and marketing, for example, or sports psychology, sports nutrition. And so it's got a really holistic approach, and we didn't necessarily see that in season 2. So this is something they've developed for season 3, which has had a significant impact on the players so far. So for me, I really feel it's even from season 3 to 4, I expect another leap, and hopefully I have the opportunity next year to continue coaching in the league and get to see the development for next year as well.
Coach Mills, it's a pleasure to have you back on the Voice of America. So thank you for joining us from Abidjan. Coach, seeing how you're the only female head coach in the BAL, do you feel like there will be more female coaches in the next few seasons of the league?
Most definitely. And I want to give a shout out to Coach Caddy Diop, who was the assistant coach for Dhaka University last season. So it was great to have another female coach in the competition. And this year there's only me, unfortunately. But I can't tell you how many female coaches reach out to me. And we're talking female coaches who have been assistant coaches in the NBA, who are really interested in coming across and coaching in the BAL. And so I think it's really just a matter of time before, you know, it's not just me marching up and down that sideline. I'm going to be seeing another female head coach or female assistant coaches in the league. And I think that's what really separates the BAL from any other professional men's league in the world. It's the opportunities for women, not even just in terms of coaching, but you see female referees, game commissioners, officials, commentators, sports journalists. You see them all the way through the BAL operations team. And it's so refreshing to see something like that and see it be successful. And it's hopefully influencing other leagues like the NBA, EuroLeague, etc.
Yes, absolutely. Taking a look at the Nile Conference, Al Ahly and City Oilers are both making their BAL debuts. Al Ahly just beat CFV by 18 points. City Oilers have yet to make their debut. Can you share some insights about each team?
Look, I thought Al Ahly came out really well yesterday. And what's even more exciting for them is their point guard didn't even play. He's a national team point guard, shooting guard, and he's just amazing to watch. So it'll be interesting to see when he rejoins the team in the next couple of games. And Bera, who from Mozambique, they didn't start well, and hopefully we can see them pick it up. But Al Ahly is a team with a lot of experience. Every single local player on that team plays for the Egyptian national team. You've already mentioned Nuni Amut. Corey Webster plays for the New Zealand national team. And Thompson has played in Egypt before and has had a decorated career. So as a club, it's participated in the former FIBA Club Championships, which is basically the BAL before the NBA stepped in. And so this is, even though it's their first BAL experience, it's not their first continental experience. And so they're one of the favorites in the Nile Conference, and they certainly came out strong yesterday. We look at City Oilers. This is a team that was established in 2011 and has gone on to win 8 titles in Uganda. So they've been pretty dominant in their region, especially what we call Zone 5, which is East Africa. And they've won Zone 5 championships as well. And a lot of their players play in the Ugandan national team, which has consistently participated in continental championships like AfroBasket and World Cup qualifiers. So although these two teams are debutants, they definitely come with a wealth of experience. But, you know, the BAL is a completely different club tournament than we've seen in Africa before. So getting used to the bigger stage, the bright lights, and the level of exposure is something that both teams will need to acclimatize themselves to. And City Oilers have got a big task. They're up against Petro de Luanda, who is another favorite, let's be honest. They came second last year. They've done amazing job recruiting. And so I think, yeah, City Oilers are getting put in the deep end, and let's see how well they swim.
I like that, Coach. How well will they swim? Well, as for the entire BAL, Coach, do you think there are any distinct advantages that veteran teams possess over the newcomers? You mentioned Petro, 2022 BAL finalist, very veteran team. Your thoughts?
Oh, exactly. Like they definitely have an advantage, because I think they've been there. They've been on the biggest stage. These stadium, like a lot of these teams have never participated in stadiums like this, never have had the same media exposure like this, haven't played in crowds like this. So when you've got teams who have participated in the BAL before, nothing phases them. Nothing's new. They've been here. They've done that. And I think that's a distinct advantage. But also like teams like Petro, who have been dominant on the continent for the last 20 years, nothing kind of phases this group. And I think, you know, given that they've recruited Atiyah Majok, Solo Diabati from Monastir, who won the BAL, that's only added to the experience on their roster. So I'm really excited to see them play today, and I can't wait for the Aha Lee Petro matchup, because basically we're going to be playing one of them for sure.
No, I honestly like that assessment right there. Al Ahly definitely showed us they are a team to you know, not take lightly. And Petro, we know what Petro brings to the table, but I think you guys will be all right. I think y'all will be good. What are your thoughts on the BAL Elevate program? And can you tell us about Joy Ikuvaja, the BAL Elevate player for the Abidjan Basketball Club?
So Joy is a young man from Nigeria. He is a point guard, combo guard, and he's a stealthy lefty, which, you know, as a coach, you love having a lefty in your pocket. So he's a bright, he's a high character young man, and he's highly coachable. That's the most important thing at his age. And I think he really came in. He was very confident in how he presented himself to the team. And look, he played with Rwanda Reg last year, so he's coming in with experience, and he really did an amazing job slotting in. Now, in terms of the Elevate program across the BAL, it's a really unique project that the BAL have undertaken. You wouldn't see this in EuroLeague or the NBA, but I think it's the right move for Africa. With the NBA Academy, it's important that these young players get an opportunity to play with elite clubs. And although, you know, some of these players, you know, end up just training with the team, just even being amongst men and understanding what a professional men's team does day to day is an experience that will elevate their game, regardless of whether they get on and off the court. You know, eventually I see this project falling away, and we'll just see Elevate kids getting recruited straight out of the academy. And that's what you want to see, what we see in Europe and Australia, where you have academies that feed into senior club teams. And I think it's a great idea by the BAL right now. It's exactly what we need. And, you know, it's showcasing Africa's young talent to the world. And hopefully, you know, this is appreciated, and these young gentlemen get an opportunity that they will thrive in.
Coach, just following up on Muckbill's question, how's the reception? Mm-hmm. How's the reception been from the veteran players on the ABC Fighters for, say, some of the younger players on your team?
Well, look, we are really lucky at ABC to be led by Stefan Kanate, a 43-year-old African legend who's competed in 8 Afro Baskets. He's competed at club championships. He's been there. He's done that. And he's just such a high character leader. Honestly, as a coach, you couldn't ask for a better captain. And how he leads is how everybody follows. And he's taken such great care of Joy and taking him under his wing and really showing him what it takes to, you know, play for how long has Stefan played? 28 years almost.
Wow.
At this level. Oh, he came in as a young 14-year-old. So, and he, yeah, 28 years might be too much. My calculations. Don't trust me on anything. So, you know, when you have a captain like that and he's going to embrace the rookie, everybody else falls into line. And look, one of the big things for me when I was recruiting, even our imports and, you know, working with our locals, is high character. I don't care how talented you are. If you're not a high character person, you don't come and play for ABC. And I think for us, it was very easy to embrace Joy and bring him into the fold. And he's a great young gentleman, and he's stepped up and taken the challenge. And we really look forward to him coming back and working with us in Rwanda.
Coach Liz Mills, we want to thank you for joining us on this special VOA BAL podcast. And Coach, I know my colleague Muckbill Yabaro wants to give you some good luck message ahead of the BAL playoffs.
Absolutely. Best of luck, Coach. You definitely have a really strong team, and I'm convinced with your great coaching, you guys are going to do well in Kigali. So best of luck.
Well, thank you. We've got 3 new imports coming in for Rwanda, and let's just say they are extremely elite, and that's really going to help our chances. And we're really excited about going to Rwanda and, you know, shaking things up.
Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Well, thank you, Coach, and thanks again. And we really enjoyed chatting with you about the BAL.
Well, thanks for the opportunity. And all, as always, I can't wait till next time.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you. Bye.
We are back. We are back. And just finishing this off from this very interesting game with SLAC and the City Oilers. Unfortunately for the City Oilers, they were not able to get it done. And
they came up short.
Came up very short.
Huge loss.
Yeah, 28-point loss. It was... let's just say it's a learning experience, and they have two more games to potentially learn from. But let's touch on this upcoming game before we wrap up. We have the Cape Town Tigers and Al Ahly Sporting Club. Al Ahly is undefeated at the moment with two wins, no losses, and Cape Town Tigers are 1-1.
And we have Sonny Young in the building. Studio with us. He will be bringing you live coverage of the game. Sonny,
great,
both teams.
Great to be back in the glittering Studio 3.
For the next 3 hours, tune in. Sonny will be here. So, Sonny, Cape Town Tigers, they need this win. Al Ahly is not an easy team to beat. What are some of your predictions?
Tough game. It'll be interesting to see how the Tigers deal with Al Ahly's size. I know Peter Prinsloo, pretty rugged player for Cape Town. He'll be in the middle, hoping to stop some of those really big Egyptian players. We both saw that Arabi. I mean, he takes up a lot of space.
7'2"?
I mean, in terms of athleticism, he's not much of a leaper.
Right.
But he doesn't really have to be.
He doesn't have to be. He can just touch the rim from where he stands.
Yeah, I mean, he's just up there grabbing the ball. But I did like his enthusiasm last game. Every time he would dunk the ball, he'd be flexing his muscles.
Absolutely.
And so I think Prinsloo is going to have his work cut out for him underneath. Zaire Wade, I'd like to see maybe a little more production from him. But I would have to say the Tigers are the underdog. You got Al Ahly playing on their home court.
Right.
Pretty much.
And, absolutely. They have the six-man advantage playing on the home court. You don't want to lose that when you have the crowd giving you support and, cheering you on.
Oh, yeah.
But again, I agree with you, Sonny. I want to see more Zaire Wade. I remember the excitement when we heard that he's going to join the Cape Town Tigers, bring some new blood to the Basketball Africa League. The son of NBA legend Dwayne Wade, Hall of Famer Dwayne Wade. The first game struggled a little bit. But in the halftime, I don't know whether, again, he made that phone call. His dad called him.
we got to get going with it.
We know the father, Dwayne Wade, is not in Cape Town because we saw him at the Met Gala yesterday. So,
But I'm sure they're together. I think he gave him a call, let him know, I'm watching. But definitely shout out also to Anunwa Amat.
Yeah.
Youngster's a baller. Nooney is a baller.
But Sonny's favorite player.
He is one of my favorites. Yeah.
But we can definitely keep going on. And this is what happens when the three of us get in the mix.
But
we definitely have to wrap it up. And Sonny will be live with you for the next 3 hours on the Al Ahly game.
And the big man in. From Bamako.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bamako.
Big man.
And Mark Bill probably, dropping in a few, times here. But that's it for us from here. The Glittering Studio 3. My name is Jackson Vunganyi.
I'm here with Sonny Young, and it's Muck Bill Yabaro, and it has been a pleasure.
We out.